Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked. See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Doc, Fred, Frank,
Jake.
We're all here. And we had a little snow yesterday, so the three amigos over here, the weather weenies, all took the day off.
I had to.
Had to.
Daycare was closed.
Yeah.
They closed the night before.
Bring the kid in.
I've seen how that works for Paul, and I had no interest in going down that road.
So he makes a good point.
Yeah. Well, they had a lot of early dismissals.
Yeah. But the weathermen, the Charlie Casterlys of the world blew
they
it.
All right. Screwed up. We all got Charlie Casterly yesterday.
Yeah.
Sucked.
They all screwed up.
Well, I guess not all of them. The ones that were in New Jersey and down in the Mid-Atlantic didn't screw up.
In our area, Boston, right. Providence,
they blew it.
They all screwed up.
Such an idiot.
Anyway.
They did all screw up together, though, so it was kind of like
and what made it
taking
strange,
the consensus number one overall pick. Yeah. Hey, I screwed up. I took it. Everybody would have taken him.
What made it kind of strange, too, was not only they screwed up the estimates and all that stuff, but it started snowing, at least up by my way, really early.
It was a weather miracle. Somehow it snowed it hard all day
accumulate.
And didn't accumulate. Because at my house, it snowed hard from about 8:50 or so on, and yet every time I looked out, it was still just a dusting. It was like it was slushifying as it hit the ground.
The ground was warm.
Right. So nothing was accumulating. Anyway, so I was here yesterday, and
you live 5 minutes from the stadium.
You could walk to
a lot of other people. Were
if a blizzard starts, you could be home before it really would.
No, I was told that's not true. That second part.
Right. We heard otherwise.
I was told it was a ghost town yesterday.
Somebody told you wrong.
Well, that's what everybody said. There were very few people here.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
That's not true at all. That's not true.
I agree with
Fred. Who
told
you that? Who told you that?
Don't be a kiss ass.
I had a lot of people tell me that.
Who told you that?
Well, maybe on the high level of Doc and Fred, on that level of pay grade.
How many of your 50 staff members came in?
Maura was here.
Maura was here. Carol was here.
I was definitely misinformed then because I wasn't aware that the 50 people that worked for Doc all showed up.
Right.
We were all here, but we all left at 2.
So I was misinformed.
All of Doc's people were here.
You all left at 2?
Yes.
There you go.
Why'd you even bother?
So you're both
in?
Right. People came and then left.
Yeah, the rest of marketing left at about 3:30.
I sent people home at 4:15.
Once the orgy ended.
So, I was a nice guy at 4:15.
No, I ended up wasting the whole day because of, I had to get Will, and I wouldn't have had to had there not been predictions of that snow, because my mother-in-law could have done it. I just didn't want her to go out in a major storm, which we were told we were getting.
Yeah. Got home Tuesday night. There were all these cancellations already on the news for the next day. And
I know,
that
Eric,
night, and
geez. The hills of North Providence, you know, you can't, you got to be.
Such an angry.
You can't blame them, though. I mean, I sat in that snowstorm in 07 on the highway for 6 hours to get home, which is why I left early. So, I mean.
That's what was in my mind.
Mine, too. That's why I left.
Well, obviously, it was within, in a lot of people's minds, and that's why no one went to work yesterday. Around the Commonwealth. I don't know.
It was a great commute down here yesterday morning.
It was actually a great commute this morning. I was surprised by that. I thought everybody would be out there today. But anyway.
We're going to talk about Vince Wilfork and the franchise tag, or we're going to discuss the weather and travel in greater New England.
All right. Well, yes, today was the first day that teams are allowed to sign a person to a franchise tag. They have 2 weeks. From now until
it's not really about signing
the 25th,
extending the franchise tag, applying it to the player.
Right.
The player doesn't have to sign it,
but they can offer it.
I would do it ASAP for Wilfork.
Why?
Yeah, I would too.
Don't give him any hint that you're not going to franchise him. Just tell him it's the technicality, it's the way business is done. We have to do this. It protects ourselves. Do it right away. Get it out there. You don't have to sign it, Vince. But this is the next step in this procedure.
Protect yourself as a team, as an organization. You can still negotiate with him for a long-term deal.
Maybe he's like, wow, maybe they're not going to use it. Get his hopes up. He gets angrier when you give it.
And is there a disadvantage from doing it early?
No. The only disadvantage would be is if you ended up...
If you really didn't want him.
Right. And you wanted to sign some... Maybe if you wanted to use it on someone else, but you used it on this guy, and then you end up signing him or something, then if there's no other candidate they have...
Well, is there a disadvantage in that if they offer it to him now, and he signs it right away... Now he can start negotiating with other teams?
No, he signs it, he's your player.
But they can start...
They could negotiate to trade him because he's now under the tender and he's a player.
The Patriots could negotiate.
Right, that was the whole thing with Matt Castle, Julius Peppers.
Wilfork can't go out and say, okay, now I've got my franchise tender, I can't...
No. Only if he's unsigned can he do that.
But he can't now.
No, not right now. Well,
except
under your scenario where you let him.
Oh, by the way, I asked about that. It can't do it.
they laughed at you like we did?
It's not allowed.
The sniff test gets it done again.
So, everyone here thinks that they should just do it right away. Just give him the franchise offer.
It was like last year with Castle. Everybody knew it was coming. Might as well just get it over with right away. And... You know, not leave anything open for interpretation.
Disrespect him and give him $7 million.
They said
bucks.
Last year, though, the reason they did that was so that he could get traded. That's why they did it early.
Right. But again, you want to work out a deal with this guy, I would assume.
Right.
Just get the ball rolling. Like Andy said, if you don't do it for a few days, then he starts thinking in his mind, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'll be free to shop around, and then you get his hopes up. Then you do tag him. Then he's a little bit more upset because he thought something else was going to happen. Just get it out of the way early.
I guess the only
you got bad news to give.
I guess the only disadvantage of
bad news
of signing a guy to a franchise tag is if you're bluffing or offering it. If you're bluffing and you really don't want to spend all that money,
and you don't want him to sign it immediately,
right?
That's the only disadvantage. And this is not. They would be more than happy, I assume, that he just plays the year under the franchise tag for $7 million, and we move on from there.
Right.
I'm sure they do want to sign him long term, but it's not the worst for them if he plays a 1 year tender. He's the one who needs the security.
Signing him wouldn't preclude you from getting an extension, right?
No.
Like, even if he signed the tender, they could still work
no,
on a long term.
No, but I'm saying the worst case scenario is a player signs it,
no,
and
I'm
God forbid he signs
it. I'm with you on that.
Yep.
What's the matter?
I thought I saw movement out of the left corner of my eye, and I was wondering if we had rodents in here.
Did it move?
Oh, I'm sure we do. It's a big stadium. You don't think we have mice?
In fact,
I see mice traps all over the
everywhere.
Place.
I don't think we're supposed to talk about that.
It's a big building.
Now Paul's looking behind.
He just pointed to something. So I see mouse traps all over the place.
There are.
If you look, are you afraid of mice, Paul?
I'm not a big fan, no.
Not a big
They're
fan
dirty,
of
dirty, rotten.
Elephants usually are afraid of mice.
Whoa.
What a punch.
Wow.
That kind of, he never forgets anything.
I meant because he's Republican leaning. That's what I meant. I don't know what you meant by it.
So now... The next time I take a shot, are you going to get mad at me again?
What?
When I take a shot at him, are you going to get mad at me again for the unprovoked assaults that you claim that I make on him?
Sometimes you do.
All right. So now Mike Reese had an interesting story today, kind of you know, usually Mike, when he writes the things that he wrote today, has some type of rumor that he's heard about or some, you know, he's talking about, you know, that there might be an acceleration to extension talks. Did you read his thing?
No.
You didn't?
Okay. I can't go to it.
Thanks for doing the
prep
work.
I can't go to it. When I type in ESPN.com, oh, I mean ESPNBoss.com, my computer won't go
there.
Talking
about Will Fork in particular?
Holy Christ. Eric's got every story that was on the web today, so I'm sure he's got it.
He's talking about Will Fork in particular.
I did see that item. I don't think
what'd you think of it?
I don't think I printed that one.
It wasn't one of the 42?
I don't know if I don't know if I necessarily buy.
What was the story?
Argument.
Can we recap? I just wonder if he's hearing something, is what I'm saying.
I think basically the gist was that they wanted to franchise him right away because that sort of indicated that there'd be an acceleration in talks between the two sides.
Maybe Doc is
when they franchised Samuel in 07, they didn't do it with the idea with the intention that they were going to sign him long term. He thinks differently this time. He thinks they're going to tag Will Fork with the intention of signing him long term.
I certainly think that their intention is to sign him long term.
Right.
I don't know. I don't
other.
Know what. Yeah.
I didn't know why he was making that connection, but
go ahead, Freddie. You got it.
Is this the one I was looking at?
He printed the wrong one.
Surprise me if.
In most contract negotiations, there are key checkpoints that shape the course of future talks. The Patriots and Vince Wilfork officially reached one Thursday when the two-week window in which NFL teams can assign the franchise tag to players began. Let's see. There is a part where he mentioned about acceleration of talks.
I was wrong. The weather talk was more entertaining.
Yeah, see, this isn't.
How was the commute in Maine yesterday?
This isn't the one.
They had nothing.
Yeah, they had nothing. This was a southerly storm. Nor'easter. Got a little blowy last night.
Yeah, this isn't what I was talking about, Doc. There was something. It was a blog entry, I think. Or
okay. Well, anyway, I would agree with Mike's overall premise that I think the extension, I think we're all in agreement on this, is probably what the Patriots would like to see, but on their terms. They're not going to give him, beyond the value that they envision. And this is one of those weird kind of instances because I do think Vince Wilfork is a valuable player. I do think he is worthy of significant money on the open market. However, I also think that the Patriots are well within their rights here and not sort of handing over the keys to the castle to him, because I think Andy made a point during the course of the season. You can't get play any higher at a higher level than what he was giving you at the nose tackle position. And what exactly did that mean for the impact on your entire defense? I think he played at a very high level, and your defense still struggled at various points throughout the season. So I'm not sure he's one of those guys you just want to hand over $35, $40 million in guarantees to.
Right. I will say we all saw how bad the run defense was without him. Every time Ron Brace started at the end of the year, the other team would drive right down the field, and then they'd take Brace off the field and adjust. But my counter to that would be when they adjusted, it wasn't terrible. It was literally when they had tried to fill Brace in for Wilfork.
Yeah, I think
really
that's more
struggled.
An indictment on Brace than on the defense.
My point would be just this team, all we've talked about is they need playmakers, game changers, both sides of the ball, but on defense, pass rusher, you know, guy to make the play at the time. I'm not sure the nose tackle can be that, and do you want to tie yourself into a long-term deal to that?
This is Doc got what I was looking for. Reese says that it's his opinion that Wilfork is priority number one for the Patriots at this time. I think they realize, this is Reese talking, that Wilfork is their best defensive lineman and there is no replacement for him on the roster or the open market. I also think they realize that striking a long-term extension would send a message to two important groups. It's kind of what Andy was talking about, the players in the locker room, and two, fans who want to see a strong commitment in putting the best possible team in the field and have seen more high-profile departures than high-profile extensions of late. When Asante Samuel was assigned the franchise tag in 07, I didn't get the sense a long-term extension was likely to happen in New England. I don't get that same feeling with Wilfork. That doesn't mean a long-term deal will happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if momentum builds toward that.
Yeah, see, I totally agree with the two reasons. I think you do send a great message to the locker room, more importantly. But also, in tough recession, tough economic times, you send a message to your fan base.
I know, but
make sure, you know, we're going to do the best we can to get the product on the field to be at a level that you're accustomed
to. Well, that's for sure.
That's important.
That is important. Unless you philosophically don't think that it's the right way to spend your money, then you don't do it just to appease
fans.
It
has to be great.
No.
Right, right.
Because fans will be appeased if they sign Julius Peppers.
Right.
Fans will be appeased if they trade for Anquan Boldin. And, you know, big moves will get fans happy, get fans into next season at this point and all the economics that go with it. But I think the Samuel comparison has more to do with the player than anything else. Asante Samuel didn't spend his time saying he wanted to be a Patriot. I want a long-term deal. I've always said I want a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. I did everything because I want a long-term deal. I think the reason you feel like you have hope is because clearly the Patriots like Vince Wilfork on some level. Whether it fits out economically or not, they like him. And Wilfork likes it here. So that right there leads you to believe this is a better situation than Asante Samuel, who I don't think anyone – he wanted to get paid. He wanted to be the best cornerback in the game. He wanted to be Champ Bailey, Ty Law.
And paid like it.
I've never really heard Vince Wilfork take that tone. He wants to be paid. He wants to make a lot of money, but he wants to be here. He said it 100,000 times.
Well, Karen Garigian wrote today that there's a report – or a source that says that he's already been offered a deal that included about $20 to $23 million in guarantees.
Yeah, I have that one.
That was from Comcast. Sportsnet reported that.
She's quoting that.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, now we don't know what the term is, and we don't know what the other, you know, salary part of that is.
They also wrote that that was a signing bonus, and I don't think it was.
Okay, I don't know.
Because that's in the neighborhood that we've heard. Rumors about Freddie, about $20-23 million in guarantees, and they turned it down.
Right,
they being Wilfork.
Right,
and that's consistent with what I've heard on the radio when I go and talk to those guys at EEI. They've said around the same kinds of numbers, and I think Mike Reese also had a story 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, I believe, that had some contractual parameters very similar to that. I don't know what would have changed between now and then. I don't know if the Patriots have gone up or if Wilfork is reconsidered, but I can't imagine the Patriots offering much more than that.
But my point is, Wilfork is, you know, that's in the ballpark, whatever that number is. I don't think he's necessarily saying, I want Albert Haynesworth. Whereas I think Asante Samuel is saying, I want Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey got 6 years, $65 million or whatever. That's me. I think I'm one of the top corners in the game. I think you're closer to a Tom Brady scenario where Vince Wilfork wants to be paid, but he also wants to be here.
Well, and here's why I think Reese is talking to somebody, because in this other story, the one that I wasn't referring to, he says that he's talking about perception, fan perception, letting guys go, not extending them. He says, say, for example, the Patriots were offering Wilfork a long-term deal at $8 to $9 million per season, and it was being turned down. Wouldn't that place a different context on the way the situation was viewed? So he's getting that from somewhere, you know. I'm sure that he's getting that from somewhere. So you piece it together, $20 to $23 million guaranteed, $8 to $9 million per year. So that might be, if you cobble it together, what kind of the contract that they were being offered, he was being offered at the beginning of the season that they turned down. Is that fair? I don't know. You know, Karen mentioned that Warren, when he got extended back in 07, five-year deal, he had $18 million. In guarantees. Now, it doesn't compare anything to what Haynesworth did.
I wouldn't be throwing the $18 million out for Warren because, to me, Vince Wilfork is twice the player.
Yeah, so, and that was four years ago.
Right. It's 4 years ago, and you're within $5 million. I think that wouldn't have been enough 4 years ago. I think Vince Wilfork is...
far better player.
Yeah. He is. Ty Warren has never been to a Pro Bowl, has never been mentioned among the elite at his position.
Right.
He's never even been the best at his position on the team until Seymour got traded.
Ty Warren is a very solid workman-like player that good teams have.
Right.
He's a highly skilled Mike Wright.
He's closer to that than he is to elite. He had that 1 year where you could justify him being on the Pro Bowl. He didn't make it.
Yep.
He was that good, though. But
good, solid
he's
player.
He's been solid. He's been solid.
But I think Wilfork is a standout at his position, I think.
Yeah,
I think
he's elite. Right.
So if the report that the $20 to $23 million in whatever was turned down, it sounds like he's looking for 30 and up.
Maybe. Maybe he's looking
at
30.
Well, that's why I wondered if indeed Mike has got his, you know, his finger on the pulse of the situation, and maybe that there's more talks going on and it's more imminent. I wonder if the Patriots have gone up a little bit, or if maybe Wilfork has come down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like I said, there's been four or five different places, and we've heard the same kinds of rumors, and we've talked about them here on this show, 20, 22, 23 million in guarantees.
Yep.
And he turned it down. We've actually heard that the Comcast story said October. We heard that before the season.
Right.
Probably, I would say presumably around the time that the Seymour situation.
Yeah, maybe it was offered and they categorically turned it down in October or something. You know, I don't know.
So we have heard those kinds of numbers.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's enough now or if the Patriots have decided to top the ante.
Now, I have a question that none of the three of you can answer, but maybe strippers can email in. We all say Haynesworth. Who's the second highest paid defensive tackle in football? As I figured, strippers. Yeah,
that
only
needs some research.
No, because maybe the Haynesworth contract is Washington.
Is it
the
Champ
right
Bailey?
Year? Just out of what
is it? Champ Bailey?
No, defensive tackle. Second highest paid defensive tackle in football. Is it Chris Jenkins on the extension he signed? Who is it?
I would bet Jenkins is one of the top five that makes up the franchise number.
Okay, because I think there's a chance you kind of need to throw away the Haynesworth money because it's the Redskins, because it was him. You know, the perfect storm came together for
Vince
him.
Vince isn't going to, but I think the Patriots would be right to say that's not among the parameters that we're talking about.
Well, my point would be, if Vince doesn't want to throw out, I just think he would say, don't come to me with that crap of $18 million for Ty Warren. And the Patriots would say, don't come to me with that crap of Haynesworth. Right. Okay, we'll both throw those out, and we'll find a middle ground somewhere in between. But we're both being a little ridiculous with our comparables.
Yep.
Yeah, that's possible.
What else you got there?
Nathan wants to know. Not Nathan. TG wants to know, what will Wolfork make next season if he goes along with the franchise tag, and how much more than that would he make on the open market?
$7 million is the franchise number.
$1 million.
Well, he's turned down $23 million in guarantees to seven. So.
But
you can use that as a starting point.
If you divide it out by year, how much do you think in a contract he'd make per year in a contract?
Well, Mike threw out the 8-9.
I'm just throwing out 1 year, and I think that he would stand to make at least double that in 1 year, next year, plus have annual salaries, like Andy said, in the 8-9 range moving forward.
Well, that's the question, 8-9. You know, the bonus, obviously.
That's not the question to me or to the player, though.
No, I think it is. I think to DG, what he wants to know is, yeah, we know he's going to – well, he didn't know, but we told him. He's going to make $7 million as a franchise player in a life of a contract.
Okay.
What would he make per year?
Let's just say, for argument's sake, he would make $8
million. Okay.
It's not the difference of $1 million, is my point.
No, I know.
It's more like the difference of $15
million. It's your long-term security is set.
Because he's going to get that $7 million per year for 5 years, plus –
right.
15 or so in the first year.
Right.
Double that franchise tag at least in the first
year.
Taking it back again to the Patriots' perspective, I would do the franchise tag immediately, all that. One of the other issues that I have is the labor unrest and the fact that there could be a lockout. And as we've talked about, you have a 325-pound-plus defensive lineman who is very heavy in the midsection.
Heavy on the plus.
Say you sign him to a long-term extension today, right? A six-year deal.
Yep.
Now, my understanding is during a lockout, contracts are whatever. I don't know what the right word is, but.
On freeze?
Yeah. When you return in 2012,
right,
you still have 5 years left.
Right.
So that makes that contract a little different because you have a fat, aging player who is now on the hook for an extra year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that is a factor to weigh in here. So, like, a five-year deal would really be a six if there's a lockout because – right, extends out a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, that's what makes football so much different than a lot of other sports. The chance of injury is just so much higher, and especially when you're talking about a guy his size, you know. And I know you can't think of it that way. You just got to pay the guy and not,
well,
you know.
You also have to think of it that way.
Well,
you can't,
I know,
but you have to.
I know, but you can't go into every deal thinking, oh, the guy could get hurt, because that'll stop every deal.
But that's
why, but it's got to be in your head somewhere,
and that's why they're not guaranteed.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's the chip that the owners have. If it goes bad, you know, you have to get really unlucky for it to go bad fast enough that you get soaked with all those cap hits.
How much do you think the players would?
I really think that there should be a way.
He was in the middle of the
sentence. I know, but
this is what he does. He just ignores you.
No, but I just want to. I really think
that's okay.
Be,
I just want to say something else.
There should be a way in the CBA for owners to. If a guy gets hurt within a certain window of a new contract and it's a career ender, that they don't get stuck with all of that dead money, you know? Because that would be better for both sides.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I think there are very few of those injuries that are career enders. What they are is they're worth enders. Like, the guy that got that contract was worth X before he got hurt. When he came back, he was worth Y. Yeah.
That's true.
That's where the owners, you know, get beat, and hopefully that doesn't happen until further on down the line. Yep. You know,
you over there?
So you can release it.
Yeah, I just went because it was.
But how many? I mean, seriously,
mine's relevant too. That's why I thought of it.
How many injuries are career ending in the NFL? I mean, there really aren't that many.
Yeah. Bo Jackson.
My question would be: how much would the players be willing to give up in the whatever DGR or whatever the 60%? To get guaranteed.
Whether they wanted to take a 21% hit or 18%?
Well, that's what
to get guaranteed
contracts.
That was what 18. D is claiming 18% cut.
Yeah.
To get guaranteed contracts back in return. Because everybody's saying guaranteed contracts are a major issue right now. Concussions, you can't get a true read on concussions because no player is willing to, you know, mark themselves damaged goods because they'll be out of the league. What do you need to do to get contracts guaranteed in the NFL, and what would the players give up in terms of some way to make it work?
So you think they might agree to a capped year if they got their contract guaranteed?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about there would have to be some way that there would be a window, because there's going to be guys that are hurt, so you have to have that buffer on the ownership side, the team side, to be able to replace players that are injured, but you still have to pay. So I don't know if that's 10% of the gross revenues.
You know, the whole thing with guaranteed contracts in football is such a unique sport. I mean, if you're a quarterback or a running back or wide receiver, you know, you have this self-competition. You know, you have your stats that you want to, you know, so there's always like this self-motivation for most guys. But it's really hard, like, you know, once you get a guaranteed contract and you're just toiling away on the offensive line to self-motivate yourself and just do it for the team all the time when the money's in the bank.
But I think that's in all sports. I don't think that's
football specific. Well, see, I hear that, and Freddie's not alone in this line of thing. You can't have guaranteed contracts in the NFL because what would the injury list look like? What would the disabled, you know, the IR report at the end of the year? I just am skeptical of that. I think it's the
Aren't
same.
Aren't hockey players having guaranteed contracts and they're considered the toughest men on the planet?
Right.
Yeah,
it's a joke. If he was on football, he'd be out 6 weeks.
But he's in hockey, so
he stitched it up at halftime, and he's playing in the second period.
No question.
But football is such a different sport than all those other sports, I really think.
See, I don't think it is.
I disagree.
Especially
totally.
Hockey. I think hockey and football are very, very similar. And maybe they don't make as much money in hockey. Maybe that's why, you know. Maybe it's a work ethic kind of thing with a lot of the kids that come from Canada and they come off of farms in Western Canada and they're making I don't know what the work ethic, why the differences are, but I just don't think that there would be a lot of guys without a guaranteed contract would change their mindset if they got a guaranteed contract and say, well, I twisted my ankle, I'll go on IR for the last 14 weeks. I don't think they work like that. I don't think they're wired like that.
They're competitors.
But you're right, Freddie. That is absolutely, in a nutshell, the argument the NFL uses against guaranteed contracts.
No,
I just find it amazing.
I think
you
can
get away with not having guaranteed contracts in the most physical, dangerous of sports.
In this era, too.
In an era with hundreds of millions and billions of dollars being made.
But you know, you hear these players.
Disposable.
They say after week two, we're all hurt. We're all dinged up.
Right.
But I think all hockey players are hurt after week two.
But do you think they would sit if they had a guaranteed contract?
Well,
they get it anyway. If they went on IR, that guarantees their contract. Why wouldn't they just sit if they could?
No, but then the next year somebody could beat them out, you know, and now you lost your job. Your window of making money in the NFL, the average guy is in there for 4 years anyway. You know,
so you think they would play.
A 10-year career in the NFL is not common. It's uncommon.
No, I agree with that. But my point is, I don't think guys that would normally play through an injury would now stop doing so if they had a guaranteed contract anywhere near to the level that people think that would happen.
I don't know. And I think they're afraid to find out.
Yeah. No, they're afraid to lose it because they have upper hand. I mean, anytime you don't have to give guaranteed contracts, beyond any salary cap, to me, that's the biggest thing
you
don't want to give up.
Why would you ever want to give a guy a guaranteed contract if you didn't have to?
Yeah. All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. On the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Anthony.
What's up?
Pretty, you know, guys, just, you know, you're on the subject about guaranteed contracts and whatnot. I honestly think it should never come to the NFL because it's just, it's an entirely different sport. I don't think you can do it. It's the risk of these guys getting injured the way that they do and being lost for a season is just much higher than any other sport, I believe.
See, you know? I don't think it's higher than hockey. There are more players in the NFL than there are in the NHL, but I don't think the risk of getting hurt is any higher.
And really? Why can't you have a guaranteed contract? What does it matter if the guy has a guaranteed deal when he goes on IR or not?
Like I said, I don't get it.
He's getting paid
basically
already.
Hockey is football on skates, Fred.
No,
they do nothing but bang into each other for 60 minutes every
day. Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
No, I know.
It's not the same physicality. It really is.
Of course
not.
It is. There's boards in the way. It's even worse at times.
No, it's not the same, Paul.
Dude, you're forgetting about the special teams aspect. You know, when these guys, the second stringers, are running at each other at full force, looking to take each other's head off. When you're playing hockey, you're just banging up against each other. Yeah, sometimes you get somebody with a good check against the board, but that's chest to chest. You're not having guys flying at knees, you know? And that's,
you're not?
No, not to the element that, in which you have
football.
When
was the last time you watched the hockey game?
Well, Northeastern maybe, because it's a rough brand of hockey. But you know, in the NFL, you know,
it's just stupid.
It makes the bait.
It's just a foolish argument.
It isn't foolish, Paul. It isn't foolish.
Go touch up on an icing in hockey and tell me it's not the same as covering a punt in football.
It's not
when
the
a
same.
Guy skates 65 feet into you in the corner
the play,
and slams you into the glass.
The play in and play out of football is there's much more opportunity to get hurt.
It's the whole knee aspect.
I don't get
that. When you have cleats and your foot is planted on the ground and somebody comes at you from the side, you know, you're going to get hurt on that knee versus on ice skates, Paul, where it's like you're not going to be exactly planted into the ice. You know, there's going to be some give there. So that's probably why there's less injuries in that aspect.
I mean, just every single example that I've heard is exactly the opposite in hockey than what you guys are saying. So I'll just give up.
But regardless of that argument, I don't understand what the difference is if the guy gets paid on IR because his contract was guaranteed. A normal contract, when you go on IR, you're still paid. So what is the difference?
Well, it's not always going on IR. It's just sitting out games. You know.
So you get back to you think guys, because they're on contracts, will be punanis.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that the mindset of a professional athlete is, when given the opportunity, I'm going to sit.
I don't think that's
what they do.
I think for a lot of guys, you're absolutely right. But,
don't you think there's a reason people make fun of J.D. Drew? Because he sticks out as the sore thumb because he's such a punani.
That's
because he sits out. He has to be perfectly healthy to play.
Right.
I think most guys play through it, and they take the drugs necessary to play through it. They do it.
But at the same time, hockey players and football players make fun of baseball players because, in general, they find that baseball players sit out on injuries that we would never think of.
But it's not because of guaranteed contracts.
I don't know, Paul. And again, I don't know if they want to find that out.
It's because they play 162 games.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why they sit out.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know?
Yeah, it's totally different. You have 16 games versus 162 games.
Right.
There's more likelihood you're going to sit out.
That's my feeling. And I think that's Andy's feeling.
Three sports have guaranteed deals. You know, one sport is extremely physical. Basketball is physical. Don't tell me it's not hard to run up and down the court every night and get fouled. I'm not saying it's football, but there's some physicality there. Baseball, yes, is less physical. But they all have their difficult aspects that put wear and tear on the mind and the body. Three of them have guaranteed deals. One doesn't. I don't understand how that can be in this day and age.
Well, a lot of it also is the amount of people that are on a football team, you know.
No, I understand all the excuses, but I think they're just details that would need to be worked out if you change the system.
Yeah, you can't, like, just carry guys that aren't contributing as much as you can on other teams, you know?
To some degree, yes, but to some degree, no.
Like Fred Taylor?
All right, now Andy.
Well, if there were a lot of Fred Taylors, that'd be a problem.
But it's a problem in the NBA when you have 14 or 15 players on the roster.
Yeah.
You can only carry so many injuries before you need to make a decision.
Right.
There's always ways around it. You couldn't do two-week deals in the NBA. I'm saying you'd have to change some of the details of how you work things, but there's a lot of smart people, a lot of geniuses in New York that I think could figure it out if they wanted to. They don't want to, nor should they, because it's modern-day slavery.
I don't think
it is modern-day slavery. You use these guys for their body, and you cast them aside.
Yeah, the fan in me doesn't want them to change a thing. I don't want them to change it at all.
But I think from a player's perspective, I find it amazing. It's never even brought up. You know, the difference, as Paul says, the argument is the 18% cut down or the 10% or whatever. No one says, well, how come we never get guaranteed contracts? No one ever says that. It's never an issue.
The signing bonus was the answer, you know, because before signing bonuses, nothing was guaranteed.
Right.
Now, at least, 30%, sometimes in some cases 50% of the contract is guaranteed.
But how many of those signing bonuses are big enough to prevent you from getting whacked?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Not a lot. No. I agree.
Not a lot.
Yeah, but you get that money, guys.
But it's not a lot is my point.
Not a lot.
Well, for the top guys it is, but there aren't a lot of top guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the top, 5% out there, that's a get out of jail free card. You're not going to get cut because that money is prohibitive on the cap to let that guy get cut.
Right.
But my opinion on Andy, like guaranteed contracts, but my question is who's the ones that are really crying about the guaranteed contracts? Is it the guys that are probably making the veteran minimum and probably signed to a two-year agreement and they don't live up to that two-year agreement because they get cut the next year because they weren't worth it?
Well,
Andy's point is no one's complaining about it.
No one complains.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot of people complaining about that.
Never. It's always fans talking about it's amazing
it's
there
amazing
aren't guaranteed.
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
But I've never heard a player say we should have guaranteed contracts.
And I would agree. As a fan, I don't want it. I like it the way it
is. And
that's
a hard sell if you're the players' union to say you need to pay a guy who's not good enough to make your team after 1 year.
Well, maybe it would change the way everything is done. Maybe Bill would be a little less willing to draft Matthew Slater, knowing he has to pay him for 3 years if he signs him to a three-year contract. Everything would change. The way you looked at everything, you would have a greater responsibility when you signed your name to the dotted line because it would be a pact, a true contract.
But you bring up a good point. And, you talk about
Matthew.
Draft, you talk about free agents, the unscientific nature of personnel scouting in the NFL. I think it's probably harder to project a guy in football than it is the other sports.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think they should just make football and give it a Nobel Prize.
Oh, Paul. See, it's unbelievable.
More for that than the president.
That's not comparable to his Northeastern hockey.
Football's done more for this country.
But wouldn't you say it's maybe the toughest sport to project guys?
Sure.
Like basketball is basketball. You're not talking about systems and schemes and all that stuff.
That's where he poops on other sports.
Again, no systems and schemes in basketball.
Baseball is baseball. You can either pitch well or you can't. You can either hit well or you can't. You can steal bases or you can't. It's not like, working with your quarterback or, working with the other lineman. It's the variables in football are exponentially higher than the other sports.
In some ways, because there's more moving pieces, there's more players, everything. But I don't just poo-poo the other sports like you do and say that they're a piece of cake.
No, I think they're all great sports.
I got a 14-year-old kid in Canada that I'm trying to see. Do you think he could be a third-line left winger?
I think it's pretty difficult in baseball to project, which is why you see so many...
It's difficult in every sport.
So many minor league prospects get involved in trades or players to be named later because, one club looks at what Paul's team has in his farm system and says, we think we know what we can do with this guy, and then it doesn't pan out 2-3 years down the road. I think it's pretty difficult.
They're all difficult, but
guy can't hit a changeup.
Comparisons. I think football's the toughest.
Of course you do.
Well, why? What do you think is the toughest?
I have no idea. I think they're all ridiculously hard.
You don't.
All right.
I think they're all ridiculously hard.
Paul wants to be covering baseball.
Why is it very clear?
That he,
I actually think baseball's the easiest.
He hates the game of football.
I actually think baseball's the easiest of the four,
I'm sorry about what happened to you at Everett. I can't help that, all right? You have to move on,
Paul. He could take sarcastic shots, but I can't. I think we should have Fred Kirsch accept the Nobel Prize from Barack Obama, who is evidently...
On behalf of the NFL. I will gladly do that. I'll fly over to...
As the greatest institution in the modern free world.
Where do they do that? In Geneva?
Norway?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
Denmark.
I'll be there. I'll accept that award.
Okay. Anthony, what else you got?
Anthony, you got anything else before these idiots run amok?
Sorry, Oslo.
Oslo?
Yeah. Okay. It is Norway.
Oh,
as
Oslo.
Always. Copenhagen was the other place he went to that he didn't get it done. That was for the Olympics.
I'm just saying, as usual, we came to
every
you
city
for
he
something
goes to, he can't get
worldly,
it
and it took you 17 hours to get the right answer.
17 hours.
I saw you Google over there.
We don't have computers down here.
All
Andy.
This time I thought Google
okay,
was
Anthony, what else you got?
Else.
Well, the main reason why I called up, I just want to make this point to you, Paul, is that, Paul, how many hockey games do they play?
82.
Too many.
So, yeah, there's a lot of games in there in which they could get hurt, so maybe it would skew the numbers versus 16 games. But besides that,
There's also like less than half of the players.
What's less than half of the players?
A hockey team has 20 players as opposed to 53.
Yeah,
so there's less than half of the players.
I know, but there's 22 positions in football.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm just saying you got to keep that in mind too. I'm not going to.
Some of the guys play one play. Everybody plays in hockey.
That's why we got people like Eric. Eric, here's the numbers. You go figure it out.
But he can't. That's where he fails. See, that, we Anthony, always think that. We turn to him, and he fails us.
That's where you drop the ball, Anthony, because he never has the answer.
Oh, shut up,
fat boy. See?
Wow.
See how he just lashes out? Yeah. He just lashes out.
Credit. He's useless. He's tits on a bowl.
Make your point, Anthony.
All right, Anthony. Well,
No. He actually had a point. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What are you cutting him off for?
Really, the reason why I called, guys, because Fred, I just have to know. Like last week, well, actually Tuesday's show, did you just make that argument to give the show like a little bit of controversy?
I don't even know what argument you're talking about.
I got to be honest with you. I don't either.
This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm talking about the argument where apparently Bill Belichick decides that he doesn't want to give to like coordinators the position or the name because he doesn't want them to get stolen from him.
No, that was speculation. I don't know if that's true. I'm saying maybe, you know.
Maybe. You truly believe that. You just weren't bringing that up for argument.
No.
No? Okay, because I just find that very curious. I was just sitting there the whole show, and I hate the fact that I was listening to it delayed. Because right. I just can't believe you.
I'll bet you that if you got Bill Belichick in a moment of honesty and forthrightness, he would say that 50% of the people with the title of coordinator in the NFL don't deserve it.
I think if you got him in a moment of forthrightness, is that the word you used?
Yeah.
I would say it would be a lot higher percentage than that.
Okay.
With him.
But 50% of the head coaches don't deserve it.
That's
Should I take his title away? Bill Belichick, just coach.
He's also said that there's a lot of guys that should be head coaches that are for some reason unemployed.
In his mind,
people are keeping them down by not making them coordinators.
In his mind, he's one of about six who deserve the job in the league.
Six? No chance he could come up with five others.
No, I'm talking about coaches in general, not just head coaches.
Oh, the guys that he loves that are out of work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is my theory, guys. This is just a theory. But, like, looking at this whole thing, I truly believe that he's not done. You know, it's still too early to say that this is the coaching staff. You never know what's going to happen through the whole draft process, like through the combine and everything, who he might meet, who he might bring up. You never know. And how many times have we seen in the NFL where somebody gets hired in the preseason?
However, with the Patriots, how many times have we seen?
It doesn't happen. I'm agreeing with you, Fred. I'm just saying.
But how many times have good people been hired in the preseason?
Yeah, I can't.
It's old retired Jags who were working at a bingo hall.
I can't recall the Patriots adding to their coaching.
I don't have anybody I want from a bingo. I think it's done.
When people go
to the combine, they go there under the employment of a team.
But, guys, my thing with this coaching staff, I feel like there wasn't enough people, or you don't hear about enough people that have been coming in and replacing those positions of need. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's always been a little bit understaffed. I'm on the outside looking in.
I agree, but you're right.
You're totally right.
The way they replace
at the quality control assistant level, the lowest
they
level,
from within.
And then they promote those guys up, and then they replace that guy, so that guy that got promoted is now a true assistant coach. Those are the roles they replace. Every once in a while, they sprinkle in a veteran guy or something, but for the most part, they fill at the very bottom, and they want that to rise up.
And you kind of need to have your staff in place before the combine gets here, because you have to, as a staff,
you're scouting.
You have to be on the same page on everything.
I do think there's a chance they might add a guy, a positional coach, a tight ends coach, for example. Yeah. I don't think they have one, but it will be another guy like Shane Waldron, who had that job last year, that most Patriots fans have never heard of.
Right,
it's not going to be Dom Capers is coming in to run the defense. Right. It's not going to be like that.
I think it's going to be Brian Ferentz. That's what Reese reported, that Brian Ferentz is going to coach the tight ends.
Yeah.
Who's already on the staff.
Right.
Yeah.
He was a coaching assistant last year.
Promotion.
Right.
Yeah. But back to contradict Fred, I honestly think my true opinion of the whole situation on offense, I really think the reason why he hasn't made a move, because I think Bill is probably, I'm just speculating, probably feels like he didn't put out his best player personnel on the field on offense. I feel like he blames himself maybe for the Galloway move, okay?
He
feels like maybe like it wasn't a good opportunity for Bill O'Brien, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel like it wasn't a good situation for Bill O'Brien to come into. Maybe he didn't have all the pieces in place. We don't know. We don't know what happens in the meetings, what Bill sees. Maybe Bill felt like he was too involved in the offense, you know, and with all those delay of games. You know, you never know really what it is. And maybe he hasn't given them the title yet, because this is basically him saying, all right, I'm going to give you a second shot. I'm going to try to get more pieces in place for you, and let's see what you can do. And the factor, too, you never know, maybe Bill sees that Brady's not exactly 100% 100% from the knee injury. And we all know in that second year, that's really when they really get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. It's all good point. I wouldn't rule any of that
best
out.
Theory I've heard yet on the whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could feel
I
like he undercut
believe,
Bill
right,
O'Brien
didn't really
last
get
year.
A good audition.
I didn't allow him to do the job. I'll allow him to do the job and win the role.
Yeah, that's
truly
I like
the
it.
Theory that I have.
I like it.
Throw it out there.
Better like than 2 hours of what Fred was selling on Tuesday.
Yeah, I just don't believe that. You know, you have to give the guy the position because he's supposed to be the leader. If you're going to really let him be the leader, you have to give him the name. You have to give him the position.
Right. Well, I always think
you want me to cook the meal, you got to call me chef.
Well, there's only one cooker of the meal on this team.
Yeah, it's a matter of respect, Fred. You know,
he burnt the appetizer. Dessert's getting cold. I mean, he's just, the whole menu screwed up.
Dessert's getting cold.
Unbelievable.
Dessert usually is.
It's ice cream.
All
right,
I'll
Anthony.
I'll let you argue amongst yourself.
Okay.
Later.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, guy.
Stripper says, according to the Prevention Giant Book of Health Facts, page 215, football players suffer more injuries than all other athletes combined. Football sees 12 times more injuries than the most injury-prone sport, basketball. Knee problems are the most common type of sport injury. Two-thirds of basketball players' injuries and one-third of football player injuries are knee-related. So 12 times more than all the other sports combined, says this one book.
Prevention? Yeah, I just was wondering if that's a percentage because clearly there are 30 more players on an average football team than any other sport.
Yeah. Preston says, I can't believe Paul said hockey's like football. Are you serious,
on
Paul?
Skates.
You have been off for a while now. Play running back and get pounded by 300-pound linemen jumping on you. I don't think there is one 300-pound person in hockey. Please let me know. Football is way more dangerous sport in all aspects. Hockey is a joke.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a joke, but, you know.
I didn't say hockey was more dangerous than football. Just as a clarification, I said hockey is a very physical sport. It's football on skates.
Ross
but wait a minute. If we're going to go to extremes and say there's no 300-pounders,
when was
the last time you saw a guy get his throat slashed on a football field and blood was gushing out all over the place? Because I've seen that multiple times in my lifetime in an NHL rink.
But let's forget about
it. So let's keep the extremes out of it. Let's just stick with the average.
An extreme freak accident. When was the last time you saw a guy get banged into the corner of the side of Gillette Stadium? That happens 15 to 20 times a night to every NHL defenseman.
It happens in the stands every game.
NHL defenseman gets slammed into the corner glass at least 5-10 times a night.
Ross in London says there's one big difference in the physicality of hockey and football, and that's in hockey you're on a surface which has no friction versus football where you get
hit. I don't know where people skate that there are no friction in a skate blade in ice. I don't know where that happens.
The stress of contact goes through the entire body as it's stuck in the turf. If you get hit in hockey with a similar crush to the ribs, the momentum causes you to fly through the air, not putting pressure on joints in awkward ways in the vein that causes season-ending knee injuries. Even the boards have more flex than the ground does. Hockey is a violent sport.
Boards have more flex than grass now.
hockey is a violent sport, but it's not geared up to wear and tear the way football is.
There's no wear and tear.
Can we just do this, Fred?
What?
I'm waving the white flag because obviously there is completely no semblance of any kind of objectivity
take the
on this
headphones,
one.
Throw them
Someone
on the
just
count,
said
the
there's more give in the boards than there is in grass.
I resign.
So I can't really... I wave the white flag. We can move on. You don't have to read all those emails
all right.
anymore. I'm wrong.
I love these debates we get. Rugby, soccer, hockey, all these fights about harder, more skill.
I was just simply trying to say there are other sports that are physical where guys get hurt. That's the only point I was trying to make.
You think there'd be more injuries
in
rugby because they don't wear pads.
I was wrong. There are more. There is only one sport.
But they play through
it. They play through it, yeah.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Because he thinks he's right. That's why he has that stupid smirk on.
Well, I'm smirking because we're getting to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun, back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
what will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football.
Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Is it gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
They were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said we had team in
He did it again!
Yeah, that's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved, and we had to do something different. Wow. That's what I think. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I really, really apologize. It's twice as much. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about defensive linemen salaries.
Yes.
No. Defensive tackle salaries. Do
okay.
We have that?
Defensive tackle salaries. Right now, or in 2009.
If I hear Julius Peppers.
Tommy Harris, in terms of total value, that's base salary plus other bonuses, he was number one at a little over $9 million. Haynesworth was two, a little over $7 million. Then it was Sean Rogers, 6.5. Casey Hampton, Jonathan Babineau, Tommy Kelly, Chris Jenkins, Pat Williams, John Henderson, Marcus Stroud, and Jamal Williams.
Okay. Hmm. Those are defensive tackle numbers then.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So Haynesworth got $7 million last year?
Yeah.
It's not what I would have. That's not the number I would have expected.
I don't know why, but. All right.
Seems like it would have been higher.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Is that a cap number for last year?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he got a lot more than that.
Okay.
That.
He actually got only $11
million. Yeah. See, that's $4
million.
It's more, but
I thought it would be more. He only got a $5 million in signing bonus, it says, last year.
How does he get up to 40 guaranteed?
He must get like 30 in a roster this year or something.
But that can't be considered guaranteed then.
I don't know, Paul. I just don't know.
Yeah. I never understand how they calculate those things.
I think they want people to not understand it, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of
that's
sense.
That's the game of football in general. They want to make it sound harder than
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. I think these guys and
you got the unders and the overs and you're
in the league front office and the teams, they want it vague, you know? So you never know definitively, you know, how much a guy is making.
But the definitive thing that you do know is the guaranteed money.
You think you do.
No, they do know it.
But sometimes they report guaranteed money as roster bonuses and stuff like that. And if the guy gets cut, he doesn't get a roster bonus.
then it's not guaranteed money.
But I think sometimes in reporting,
it gets lumped in. I'm not saying that there are not mistakes made in reporting. Obviously, we all make mistakes, but I don't think that guaranteed money for guys is considered roster bonuses.
Should we get back to the Boston Globe making mistakes all the time in their reporting of stories?
Sure. Why don't you?
Freddie, we got a great ass PFW today.
Oh, okay.
We did.
Said, quote, I just switched over to you guys from Boston.com because the writers are all schmucks over there.
Wow.
And I agree with him.
And now that our boy Mike Reese is no longer employed by the Boston Globe, we feel good about that because we don't have to take any shots at Mike.
I think Mike Breer is pretty good.
I don't know who Mike Breer is. Albert is the guy I know over
there. Bert Breer. Yeah. I think he's pretty good.
Not as good as he thinks he is. Yeah.
No. Well, I laughed. I read
Jesus is not as good as Breer thinks he is.
One thing about Breer is you can sense the passion. He enjoys what he's writing about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he does.
You are correct about that.
I would agree with that.
You know? Not afraid to work hard either.
Yeah. But we never ripped the Boston Globe last week for calling Eric's story on Patriots.com a statement. We never ripped it enough. I don't know if we spent enough to release.
Fred, you did mention
not
that.
Not enough.
Tuesday.
Schmuck.
No, I think
not my word.
You know,
those are what the fans are saying, Adam Kilgore.
It was petty.
Schmuck.
It was petty.
And Paul, would you like to add something about Adam Kilgore's inabilities as a journalist?
Yeah, dropped the ball in the Northeastern basketball game story last night. Actually, it wasn't a bad game story.
That's not what you said in the hallway coming down, you pansy. You are a pansy. Rip him to his ears.
Well, he did make, I thought, a little bit too much of a defensive stopper for Northeastern who played 12 minutes in the game.
The swap man is back?
No. Oh. No, this is a guard. He's a really good defensive player.
All right, we've run the course of Northeastern talk on the show.
just in a nutshell, the guy played 12 minutes. How much of an impact did he have?
I don't know.
So we talked about Wilford's situation. Obviously, if you want to chime in on that, you're
free to.
Wait,
we didn't talk about Peppers is what we didn't talk about last show.
Okay.
Julius Peppers playing the role of Jay Cutler and everything that happens he doesn't like. They didn't treat me right. Now they're not talking to me. I want out. I didn't
Andy's
want out.
Off Peppers.
I'm off Peppers again.
You're
I want Peppers on the field, but the baggage that comes with him, I hate. He's Jay Cutler. Yeah. He's physically gifted. He's never going to be a winner.
Well, I don't know if Jay Cutler's physically gifted.
Are you kidding me?
Jay Cutler is physically gifted.
I think he's a.
Do you think Jeff George was physically gifted?
Yes.
Then you think Jay Cutler is physically gifted?
You think he has a good an arm?
Unbelievable arm he has.
And I think he's better because he can throw on the run. He's athletic.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he's a champion.
Yeah.
And you think he has plenty of other issues beyond just his attitude. But to me, Julius Peppers is going down that road. Unless he's really just trying to manipulate the situation somehow.
Yeah.
But he just sounds like a total jerk every time he talks and what he wants.
Yeah.
And how they've treated him and the respect. And
no, I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
But given that he's the only real
option out there
for the need and all
such
that.
It's such a strange market. It's so hard to sort of analyze it at all because of all of these guys are restricted. All of the quality free agents, virtually, I would say 85 to 90% of the quality guys are restricted. And it's so hard to gauge that. Doomerville is a guy throughout there, yeah, but he's restricted too. So
plus he's 5'11". You know, Bill has that thing for 6'4", 4'6".
Yeah, I know. I threw it out there.
I think that's gotta go.
5 inches go though. I mean, I could see him shaving it down to 6'2". But you think he's gonna go from 6'4" to 5'11"?
I think we need a little flexibility on that.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah. Another issue I wanted to bring up was this interview that our guy Felger and Tony Maserati had on 98.5, and they had it with Mike Pereira, he's out. He was the director of officiating. This is his last year. Super Bowl was his last game, and so he sat down with the two of them and started talking about the emphasis, the contact emphasis that they have for the defensive backfield guys that was instituted a few years ago. And he says, this
totally
is Pereira.
Emerging.
Among other things, Pereira talked about the renewed emphasis that was placed in the middle of the last decade on the rule regarding illegal contact with receivers. This is from Pro Football Talk. Pereira made it clear that Colts president Bill Polian, a longtime member of the competition committee, pushed the issue due to the perception slash reality that the Patriots defensive backs were manhandling Indianapolis receivers. Pereira was candid regarding his belief that the change to the application of the rule made little sense. Specifically, he said that the notion that a flag would be thrown and a first down awarded, regardless of whether the contact actually generates an advantage for the defensive team, didn't seem logical. He goes on to talk about how difficult it was for the refs.
So why
but
did
there
they
you
do
go.
It?
Oh, anybody who that after that said, well, Polian really wasn't, you know, it wasn't about the Patriots. Baloney. It was about the Patriots. And it was about Bill Polian. It's one of the reasons why we hate him.
See, I hate Polian because I think he's a whiny bitch, but I don't know necessarily if a lot of people didn't think it was about Polian as much as the Patriots. The reaction here was all Patriots.
Well, it was Polian getting Polian mad after that game.
That was his team. But I also think, and I think that Pereira's, as usual, I don't always agree with Pereira.
I think those words flip-flop. You always don't agree with
Right. I think that he's completely ignoring the NFC Championship game that same year, which had an enormous controversy around it in Philadelphia.
And that may have just given Polian more footing to
Polian was
push
the guy, but I think that I think it's a convenient thing. By the way, and since when should a rule be ignored? I don't like Pereira. I think he's a clown. How's that
Paulie,
sound?
Perillo from Patriots Football clown. Weekly.
And he also went on in that interview, because I heard a little of this interview, he went on to talk about how quickly those numbers sort of evened out.
Right.
Initially, there were a lot of calls, and then they sort of subsided over the years, I think was the use that he used.
You know, defensive backs trained themselves not to do it as much. That could be part of it.
Right. Now, I have never been in favor of a 20-yard out route on the left side going incomplete and being overturned by an illegal contact that happened 5.5 yards downfield on the right side.
You could, well,
I've never been in favor of that, and I don't see that happen all that often.
No, it doesn't happen all that often. You know, I think.
But other than that, I think the rule's a good one. Yeah. I think they should call it.
But you know, if a contact makes a quarterback look off a guy, like he's looking, sees the contact, goes to somebody else.
But
on the other side of the field.
But I'm talking contact, like a legitimate. I think that this is overblown. I think there aren't a lot of hand-checking calls on illegal contact plays. There are some. There are some very ticky-tack
when the ball's
calls.
In the air, then it's pass interference, and that's when they call
But I'm talking about when you're more than 5 yards downfield, you're not allowed to touch a guy. And I don't want a penalty for a touch. Yeah. But if it's a tug or something that's knocking the guy off a route, that gets to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Then maybe the quarterback looks that way, and the timing's gone, and he has to go somewhere else. You got to call it.
Yeah. It's tough. It's
but
hard.
I'm with again, you on Polian, and I think he's a whiny bitch. I think he deserves the criticism he gets.
That leaves the call at the discretion of the officials,
Absolutely.
Which the NFL has been trying to take away right.
And don't misread this whole thing of being anti-Polian. That's all Pereira wants. Don't put it on my guys. Well, God forbid that my guys have to make a judgment call in the heat of the battle.
Why is he talking?
Who, Paul?
Pereira.
He even said that.
It was Radio Row. Before the Super Bowl.
He said that I probably wouldn't be saying this if I wasn't down to my last game.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I think he's a detestable human.
No, I think that he is lobbying for some other job, not in football, but his next job, perhaps.
Not
he
sure that's
wants
the
to
way
get
to
his
go.
Name out there.
Stab the people that employed you in the
back. You know, I know Paul.
He worked for the league, and the second he's not working for the league, he says, now don't buy all that crap I said for years. I was just doing what
they
told me to.
I know that Pereira has been made
it's
fun
terrible.
Of, you know, like he's the Baghdad Bob of NFL. But what the NFL did, I commend them for. You know, and they did it when the NFL Network started. Actually before that, because he might have been on ESPN, but getting him out every week, even if you don't agree with how they're spinning what the call was, just addressing them, I think, was groundbreaking in a league.
Well, I think it's great for them and their network and their league. Yes,
I think it was, and I think that he was put in a tough position. But that
boy just jogged back in.
He had another Nobel Peace Prize winning moment for the NFL.
I think it was a good addition to the Total Access show that they had on NFL Network to have him go out there and at least acknowledge that these were controversial calls.
It's one of the better things they've done because, let's be honest, the rest of those shows aren't that good.
Well, you know, if you watch him night in and night out, it's hard to say that, wow, every night's interesting. You know, it's like.
I rarely watch them and rarely say, wow, it's interesting. I don't
there
think
there are too many talking head shows on that network. That was a good
and
one.
And the heads aren't good.
Yeah.
They're not all that interesting. Yeah, they're not all. I mean, when Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders are yucking it up about pay the man.
Right.
You didn't say anything. No, it's stupid.
It's an inside joke.
I
agree. The talent on that network and. You know, and it's not just that network, but when you have, you know, the player interview, nothing is more boring. I mean, I know you want to get it from the horse's
Says
mouth.
The guys who can't get player
you know,
interviews.
You want to get it from the horse's mouth, but.
Instead, we got the other end on our show.
90% of the time, they say nothing. You know,
that's true.
The only time that active players are good talking is when they're in a situation where it's something on a schedule, so they get more comfortable as they do it, like if there's their own radio show or it's something that they do every week and they really get comfortable with the person that they're with, then it turns in. But if it's just, you know, we got the guy on the phone and we're going to talk, it rarely is a good interview.
Or if you get a guy who's a veteran who's made his money and doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
We've seen that a few times.
Or who got sent
team.
Home from practice.
But you listen, well, you know what I mean. Sometimes we'll listen to that NFL on Sirius. Oh. And they, you know, awful. Oh, we've got, you know, they make a big deal. We've got, you know, Tracy Porter on the phone right now, and it's like, it's terrible.
And the player couldn't care less.
Yeah,
is not interested.
It's
in really
all
being
cliche.
There.
It's right. really bad. And you know, I don't know what the answer to that is, but you have to be creative.
You can't do them straight.
No,
you can't do a straight. Let's talk about this week's game, this week's opponent, because you're going to get
nothing. You're going to get nothing.
If you're
going
to do anything, you got to go the Howard Stern route and try to get them just like
loosened up
and talking about, you know, like John Mayer talking about every girl he ever banged. And
right.
Jessica Simpson, by the way, I'm even more all in with.
Right.
Sorry, Deidre, you're out if I ever get the opportunity. He's calling her like a drug, napalm
crack.
Sex.
Napalm
I mean, it's like crack.
Yeah.
Crack cocaine.
I'm more interested than ever in Jessica Simpson. She can balloon up all she wants.
So
I want
Tiger
a piece
Woods.
Of that. Yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods would bang a hole in the wall.
All right. Again, webradio at patriots.com,
508-543-7482. She's hot. That Rachel Yucatel?
She is hot.
Every time I see her, she was – and this is a strange thing. She was on Extra, Exos Hollywood, one of those shows, and they showed a clip of her on the show in 2001. Because her boyfriend died in 9/11, and she was in some package they did, and she just happened to be on the show for part of that. Now she's on it.
Just happened to be. Yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
Wait a minute. Are you saying she planned 9/11?
No, the fact that she put herself on TV is not an accident. That's what she's – her whole life has been about trying to be famous.
But her boyfriend had to die.
No.
But
I'm saying she used it for her own benefit is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's
what
her
agree with
I'm not saying she planned 9/11, idiot.
508-543-7482.
We really do break ground on this show.
The phone number on the phone right now is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, how
hey!
You doing?
Hey, Mike!
Boy, am I grateful that you deemed me worthy of putting me on the air.
What's going on, man?
I waited a whole 2 minutes. I am.
We missed you. I've been calling you
better
out every week.
Better than the 25 he waited yesterday, or Tuesday.
Oh, that wasn't my fault. That's Freddie's fault.
Hey, how you guys doing over there?
Good. Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't heard the show. I'm actually at the point right now where I'm just going to get to the show just after the Colts game.
Holy crap.
I'm very, very far behind the one that we blew against the Colts.
What? What have you been
doing?
I'm
pretty far behind, but like Fred says, it's a serial. You got to follow it all the way through, right,
you
Fred?
Do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not listening to you right now.
Fred's got you on the pay no mind list, Michael. What can we do for you,
how
my
we
friend?
Feel.
Hey, a couple of things. I mean, my wife is actually taking some English classes here in Puerto Rico. And by any chance, the first thing when she came in on Monday to the class, the first thing the professor said, the first thing I don't want to talk about today is the Super Bowl. And then when my wife asked him why, he said, are you a Colts fan? And he goes, yes, I love Peyton Manning. What does my wife do? The next day of class, she shows up in her Brady shirt. In the Brady jersey. And then he goes over to her and says, well, you, Brady, what did he say? Well, Peyton Manning's got 3 MVPs. Yeah, and then she goes, yeah, but Brady's got 3 rings. And he goes right back to him while I'm dead. And it actually brought me to a parallel that I don't know if you guys thought about this. Peyton Manning has got 3 MVPs and 1 Super Bowl. How many Super Bowls does Brady have? 3 rings and how many MVPs?
One.
So if you look at it,
yeah, Manning actually
Peyton
has 4
Manning's
MVPs,
got every individual award, but Brady has got the team awards.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're telling
team,
me Manning's
right.
the better quarterback.
And he's got 2 Super Bowl MVPs.
Right.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah,
right.
too.
Yeah.
And
No question. Brady's been on the better team. No question.
I'm sorry?
Brady's been on the better team. I agree.
Yeah. Or he brings the team higher. He raises the team higher than Manning does.
Are you and Paul going to fight again?
Barilla's making fun of you, and you don't even realize
Are you
it,
and Paul going to fight
oh, no,
again?
He realized. He caught on. Leave him alone. He's a big boy. He can talk for himself.
Oh, no me hagas hablar en español.
Call him a maricón.
That's a little bit harsh there.
No. Hey, guys, just want to talk to you some posts on some other websites and stuff about the wide receiver situation.
Yep.
And I saw this scenario. I don't know if you guys have discussed it as of yet, but Branch and Stallworth, bring them both back.
Well, Branch has to become available first.
Right.
Stallworth evidently is working out for the Lions today.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, reportedly right.
Yeah. So I
would
I
you give it a shot?
I would take both. Sure.
I would jump all over Branch if Seattle lets him go.
He'd
the way
break if you jumped on him.
The way he supposedly have been getting released every month for the last 24 to 48 months.
Ever since
I would
he
jump
got
all
there,
over
basically.
That. Stallworth, I would take a crack at.
I would take a look at him.
I'd see how what kind of shape he is, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would
not?
You do a fourth and a third next year for Branch this year?
A fourth and a third next
no.
year?
Oh, no, I don't
want,
want
to
contract.
Acquire the salary.
No. I don't want the contract, no.
That's why he's going to get cut.
Oh, it's just a contract.
Yeah,
okay.
He has a big money contract. And he's also undergoing a regime change. I'm sure they don't want any part of him because he's...
Yeah, I think this time he might actually be available.
What was the guy's name?
Okay. Pete Carroll?
No, the GM.
Todd Lewicki.
What was his relationship with the team? I mean, did he burn any bridges?
Not really.
On his way out?
No.
Just gets hurt too much.
He spoke highly of the team when he left.
Yeah. I mean, they used
only in Fred's mind
the tools available to them to get him what he wanted. But I think it would be like Ty Law when he said, "What's up, Bill?" Yeah, we were just playing that business game. I'm back. We're good now.
Yeah, because you saw the same thing going on with Ty Law, and eventually Ty Law was on the brink of coming back like three times.
Right.
You know?
Things will be fine.
Plus, 12's in his back pocket. They are as tight as can be. So if Tommy Boy wants him back, he'll be back.
If he came back, everything would be fine.
Even with Fred?
Yep.
He'd be wearing the uniform
Hey,
again.
Dion.
I had no problem with Dion Branch. It's a business decision.
But you have ripped him.
I have a business decision. I say for the money, I can understand why they didn't sign him. That's all.
Have you guys started your draft coverage yet?
Sort of. What do you want?
Two particular people that I got my eye on. Golden Tate, with his dynamic return ability and just the familiarity that he has with the system, I would pick him first round. Hands down.
I don't know about that, but
I like Tate a lot. I like the player a lot.
I like him for all the
better
reasons
as a number
said.
Two.
But that
he'd be better than number two.
As a second round pick, I'd be more comfortable.
Oh, okay.
I like Golden Tate a lot.
Great hands,
but I wouldn't take him in the first round if I were the Patriots because I think they have a bigger
need somewhere
on defense.
Else. Yeah.
But I think we can go. I mean, we might go the way of getting. What do you call him? Golden Tate on the first round, and then Greg Hardy from Ole Miss on the second round, or Brandon Spikes on the second round. And I think that'd be a pretty good 1-2 punch right there. And I know we got three number twos, so we could actually get Golden on the first round, Greg Hardy, and Brandon Tate on the second round. I'm sorry, Brandon Spikes on the second round. And we'd be pretty much set. I mean, we got a great wide receiver, an awesome or somebody that could potentially be good as a defensive end, and then somebody in Brandon Spice who can both play inside and outside.
Well, just before you get overly excited about all those second-round picks, just remember how second-round picks have worked out for this team lately.
Wow. Very negative.
Well, they netted a Deion Branch, a Super Bowl MVP. You're right, Eric.
I'm talking about the most recent ones, like Ron Brace, Pat Chung.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. But
Darius Butler, Sebastian Vollmer. I can match your little game here.
Thank you, Andy.
No problem.
And then one other guy
Amigo.
That I want you to keep an eye on
sorry
is
to bring a little
Jacoby
objectivity
Ford.
To the argument.
I don't know who that. Who's that?
Jacoby Ford,
who's
the
that?
Wide receiver / running back out of Clemson.
Yeah,
he
we haven't gotten that
Kevin
far in our draft.
Written all over him.
I'd rather have C.J. Spiller out of Clemson.
Yeah
but he's going to be too high up in the boards. I mean, we could probably get T.J. Ford. It's a T.J. Ford in like the fourth or maybe even fifth round because he's rated as the 16th best wide receiver.
Okay.
We'll get back.
I don't
we'll
know
get back to
back at the beginning of his career.
I don't know
we'll
much about him. I'll do some research. But
all right. Well, thanks for your worthiness and keep it going, guys. Okay, keep us going through the off season.
Sorry about that
all
Colts
right.
game.
All right, Mike.
All right, Mike. Thanks for calling. Nathan writes in. He says,
"No, not Nathan.
You did it again. You leaked out our schedule early. You low life schedule leaking cheats. I don't know what's he talking about. But I am really worried about our schedule. And I'm thinking that we. Oh, just kidding." That's what JK means. Worried about our schedule. I'm thinking that we might not make the playoffs. Give me a reason why you guys think we'll make the playoffs this year.
Tom Brady.
Because he's looking at the Steelers, Ravens,
that.
Chargers, Colts, Bengals, Vikings, Packers. All on the
it
schedule.
It does right now look like one of the more challenging schedules that they've had.
But you can't judge it.
But I will
over.
Say that 07.
But next January, we'll
07
we
also
done
looked like as challenging a schedule as they had in a while, and we all know what happened in 07. They went 16-0.
Right.
So
you're saying if they get Randy Moss, Dante
and it was
Stallworth,
a and by
Wes
the way,
Welker, Adelis Thomas,
that was a
then
challenging
we'll say,
schedule
good.
In 07, and we didn't have to wait till the end of that year to realize that. That was, as advertised, that was a difficult run. You know, I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence. This did you see the video in Washington, Fred?
This is absurd.
The person teen getting beat
the teen
up.
Getting yeah. beat up with the security, security guard standing there watching it.
There are three of them,
and they said
they're
not
doing anything.
We did call it in.
Oh, great!
Thanks.
It's unbelievable. And it looks like girls fighting too. Right?
Yeah, I think it was girls.
Well, you let them fight.
But all you have to do is step in.
I know.
Only if they're naked.
It's ridiculous.
One of the best fights in Everett High School history, by the way.
Girls.
Unbelievable. Two girls fighting.
Naked.
Unbelievable.
Over you, right, Paul?
And oh, no. I had nothing to do with it other than from the spectator standpoint.
Girls fight. It's very furious. It's like, it is like cats.
I'm telling you. It was one of the best fights ever.
Yeah.
It's like when Eric beat up that.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, there was nudity involved.
Really?
Yeah, oh yes.
A nude fight?
Nip slip?
No, they weren't nude fighting. There was
Charlotte
clothes
nip.
Being...
Taken off?
Yes.
Nip.
Wow.
Ripped.
Nip.
This is good stuff.
It's good stuff. And they were both hot.
Really?
Oh, what
was
yeah.
It, what was it over a guy?
I don't know.
Yeah,
what it
Paul.
Was over, it wasn't over me.
I know. I'm just being stupid.
Which one has to go to the prom with them? I don't want to. And they start fighting.
Look.
Mark from Cheddar, I'd like to talk about the draft. Oh, Fred, you wanted to get on to that later. Okay. Can I talk about Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots,
sure.
and his coaching staff? You wanted to
he
talk about that
staff?
Later as well? How about talking about Wilfork later as well, Fred? How about Bill Polian being an idiot? Finally something you want to talk about. Anyway, on to other things. The other day I went shopping, and I was in TK Maxx. I believe it's TJ Maxx in America. Mark is from Cheddar, England. And as I was walking around, I saw these racks of sweaters, and I thought, is that tangerine? So I went and looked at it, the label, and it said tangerine, part of the Scavolino range.
No, it didn't.
Scavolino. Yes, congratulations, Eric, on your own range of sweaters.
No, that's just Mark being stupid.
You think? You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
Oh, okay. Fantasy trade. Would you trade Manning for Brady?
Yes, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't. Are there any...
Wait a minute. You just said... After the AFC title game, there's no other quarterback on the planet that could do that.
That's right.
And that there was no quarterback playing
better
right now.
And you said there's no way that
Brady
should get more money than Manning.
That's right. And I think that Manning right now is the best quarterback in the NFL.
So why wouldn't you
trade him? I still wouldn't trade him.
Why?
Because Brady's our guy.
You know what? You swayed me.
Yeah. He's our guy.
I like his reasoning.
Yeah.
I like that reasoning. He's our guy.
Are there any quarterback?
Wait a minute. You don't find that admirable in any way?
I guess.
He's our guy. I want to stick with my guy. I would rather lose with my guy than win with their guy. I like that.
I don't know what our guy is.
Wait, that does not enter the equation. Yet,
my guy was the one who worked out all the time.
Oh, come
not
on.
Not the one who's
Fred.
Gallivanting all over the globe.
Fred. That is the quickest you've ever swayed me on an argument.
It is.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned.
He's our guy.
I love it. Yeah. I'm going to use that for future reference. Thank you.
Are there any QB wide receiver duos in the league which you would be willing to trade Brady and Moss for, thinking about now in the future?
Manning
Brady
Wayne.
And Moss for Schaub and Johnson.
Haven't we played this game already?
I think somebody did. And then the other one is Brady and Moss for Manning and Wayne.
Yes.
Manning and Wayne, you do it.
Yeah. Andy yeah. can't get
well, I'm taking...
Andy can't get Brady out of town fast enough. I don't know if you've noticed this.
At least I'm
How does it feel?
At least I'm getting Manning for him. Yeah. You just want to let him go via free agency.
No.
It's not enough
to run him out of town.
One of the ones, someone did play this game before, and one of the ones that I had to give thought to was Stafford and Calvin Johnson.
Right. You wanted Stafford over Brady.
Well, that says it all to me. I think he could be one of the next great quarterbacks in the league.
I have one of the all-time greats.
And I know that Calvin Johnson's a great wide receiver.
And the only time I trade him is for another all-time great.
And Moss
Peyton Manning. Exactly. That's why I'll take Wayne.
It's not enough.
Even though
Andy,
Wayne's coming off a game I didn't like.
It's not enough for Andy that Brady was here for every offseason program, didn't miss
one training camp practice.
That's not enough. No, what's he going to do? Paint the building in the offseason?
No, just be who he was, not who he's morphed into.
Okay, so we married somebody that's a billionaire, and you know,
it's got nothing to do with.
You're
going to
hold that against him?
No, it's got nothing to do with that.
Had a couple kids, you're going to hold that against him?
Is he not supposed to go to the State of the Union?
I'd prefer
you
Parks in the front line.
Yeah, what are you? 40 years old now? How old are you?
31.
All right, you haven't changed since you were 21.
Sure.
Okay, so he's not allowed to change.
But my principles are the same.
Un poco.
My principles are all the same. My morals.
Having two kids doesn't change you at all.
And while I'm excited about my future,
okay.
I don't think so.
Do you work out? Do you work out more now or when you were 21?
What?
Well, he's not a professional athlete, but.
Right?
Oh, so
but, no. If he were doing things just for his kids, I have no problem with that.
I just don't think he's as focused on preparing for a football season as he once was.
I don't know about that.
That's all I'm saying. And okay. That used to be his shtick.
Hell no.
All right. He was built up as something.
All
right. Right? He was the salesman to this franchise. He was the reason people wanted to come here.
I think
because
he
you
still
look
is.
Left March 27th, you look left at 6 a.m. when you're running across the practice field, and Tom Brady, the greatest ever, is running next
and
to you.
And he was still
that
there.
That means a lot.
He was still there.
Was he? Ask me, doesn't park in the front row
ask
anymore.
The
front row.
Ask the
front row.
Ask front row. Ask the young wide receivers.
Can you? I have another list. I need you to bring me the list of parking spots and people who get to park in the front row.
Okay, you need that list.
Yeah. I do. Let me know if T. Brady is on there.
Ask the young wide receivers who they were working with in the offseason. Who was throwing them passes?
Probably Tom Brady. I didn't say he totally tanked everything.
Well, and plus, that's a little bit deceiving because how much of that was done because he was doing his own rehab?
Yeah.
Well, he was here.
This year.
Yeah.
He wasn't the year before.
No, the year before, he wasn't here.
He chose not to compete.
And where he'll be next year,
we don't know.
This current year.
I'm assuming
he's not going to be here as much as he was last year.
I think he's going to do the same thing as
he's
last
on
year.
The PBA tour. I mean, the PGA
tour.
He goes
to that every year and has been going to
Didn't
that
go last
year.
Year.
Well, I now you're going to be a complete idiot.
You just take it to levels of idiocy that beyond all comprehension.
Still waiting for that list of teams in cap hell.
Oh, boy. Let's see.
Oh,
can you just say I was wrong?
You were wrong.
No.
James, that's what you asked me to say. James in the UK says, I was interested in the discussion on who you hate / refuse to root for. First, does Paul really hate the Vikings as opposed to hating Brett Favre?
No, I hate the Vikings,
which
too.
I would totally understand if that was the case, but I don't see the hatred for the Vikings.
Yeah, I never liked Minnesota. I hated Fran Tarkenton as a kid.
Yeah.
Hated him.
He wasn't a nice kid at all.
I love these people that are like... I love these people that are like historic legends in my mind and Paul goes, I hated watching him.
I hated him.
Well, because he was on the list.
No, I'm just saying he was an undersized quarterback.
No, because he was
Paul
so
said,
old.
When Otto Graham used to sling it, I hated him.
Fran Tarkenton was Doug Flutie before Doug Flutie.
No, going back to the 40s.
You can't have a logical discussion with Andy. It's impossible.
I don't hate anyone.
Oh, God.
I really don't.
You just dislike everyone.
How about cold, hard football facts?
I hate them.
They said Bo was never good. Dumbest thing ever said on an internet
site.
That took
a lot of thought to come up with someone you hate.
Moving on. Okay, I'm going to give you some fictional Super Bowl matchups, and I'm interested in who all four of you would want to win. An undefeated Colts team versus the Saints. Well, the Saints.
Well, the Saints.
Yeah.
An undefeated Saints team versus the Colts. Saints, still.
Yeah.
Oh, if there was an undefeated Saints team, I would be all in for the Saints.
Yeah. I'd still be
all in.
Still,
the
yeah. Doesn't change.
Vikings versus Jets, mainly for Paul, as he hates the Vikings and Jets.
Probably the Vikings, though. You're
Jets.
Right.
I'd root for the Jets. Can't root for Brett Favre.
Vikings versus Dolphins.
Dolphins. Brett Favre.
I'd have to root for the Vikings.
Vikings.
There too.
Cowboys versus Colts.
Cowboys.
Colts.
Colts.
Cowboys. An undefeated Colts team versus the Vikings.
Colts.
Colts. Colts.
An undefeated Saints team versus the Jets.
Saints.
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 Looking forward to the draft. That's what he says.
I like games.
Yeah.
I like stories.
A little thing I brought up to Eric Paul that I haven't discussed with you yet. He brings up the draft. We need to change our lingo a bit because we used to say, I give up a second-day pick for him.
Oh, yeah. I
Keep
know.
In mind now, that means a second or third-round pick, and a third-day pick now means a fourth through a seventh.
I just
right.
think we need on first reference to things like that, I think we now need to say a first-day pick in parentheses, first three rounds or first two rounds, whatever we're going to determine it as, because you can't say a first-day pick and let that stand as just the first round.
Right.
Kind of like you used to be able to say he earned his first trip to Hawaii. Well, he didn't because he went to Miami.
Right.
Matt from BU, as I was listening to your last show, you guys were discussing how if you didn't find the scene with Drew Brees and his son cute after the Super Bowl, you don't have a heart. Now, don't get me wrong. It isn't that I didn't think it was cute, but what everyone seemed to be missing was that the entire time he was talking to his kid and pointing things out, the kid had huge headphones on for the exact purpose of blocking out noise. So, yes, while the idea of it was very sweet, he was actually just standing there talking to himself, and the kid wasn't learning or hearing a thing. Am I wrong?
I have no idea.
You're
what
still
was
an idiot.
Hearing. I just was more or less talking about the scene.
What was he learning? He just wanted him to be taking in. It's one of those things he's going to look back on the video, and it's a moment they'll have forever. And
yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Plus, if you're standing right next to somebody and they have headphones on, you can still hear them talking.
Right.
Although those were some big headphones. It's like that Jeremy Capstein guy in Red Sox games. It's like you can contact the mothership with those things. Like Chris
Ferrer
on
game day.
Speaking of headphones, Don't we have new headphones coming back there?
Yeah, when are they coming?
We're still having issues with our finance department paying a past due balance.
Well, how do you do things in what you in that department that you run with 25 people?
In between orgies, can you get that done?
It's approved on our end. Finance just needs to cut a check and send it to the people so we could order the headphones.
Who's holding this up in that department?
Don't you do things where the company just sends it to you and you pay them after you get it?
No. Normally, but when you're behind on three invoices, they don't want to send you anything.
Okay, now
our credit's not good.
Now we're getting to the bottom of it. Is this Best Buy that we're dealing with? Who are we dealing with here?
No, it's one of the guys who work on game day.
Marvin says change.
What, did they fall out of a truck?
What?
We're buying them off a guy that works game days. Like,
don't ask questions.
Oh boy.
Marvin says change is coming.
That clock, by the way.
I know it stopped.
It stopped.
1:53 the whole time.
It's 1:27.
Just shaking
right
it won't fix it, you know, because it's still
it
wrong.
It didn't fix it.
Yeah, now the second hand is right.
I have a clock
got that
right
going
here.
For
it's
me.
1:28. Fred, the first thing we need to say is thank you for all the great work that you, Andy, Eric, and Paul, and Doc in the booth do for all of us that are part of Patriot Nation, both in the season and off. I love the email you read from John in L.A. a couple shows back on the Pats value system versus the Colts pay and keep your together team together system. The debate that it sparked was classic Fred, hair-splitting, Kool-Aid-drinking Homer Fred. I haven't heard a better spin since Bill Clinton's It Depends on What You Mean by the Word Is. Fred, Paul is absolutely correct on this. The Colts have done much better with their pay system than the Belichick-Pats system in the past 5 years. Fred, that mean more than just the Samuel situation was a mistake. You can't tell me if Bill had paid Vinatieri and he was on the sideline in 07 Super Bowl, he wouldn't have tried a 48-yard field goal.
49.
He didn't because he had no confidence in Gostkowski. I'm sure it would be different today, but that brings me to the number one question going into the offseason. It's not contracts. It's not draft picks or free agents. We all know that the Pats are a dictatorship, not a democracy. So, in fact, that makes Bill a liar every time he stands at the podium and says we will do what is in the best interest of our football team. What he really means is he will not do what he thinks is in their best interest. That said, the number one question is, can or will Coach Belichick change? What worked prior to 04 does not work now. We all have to change at different times in our lives. It's time for Bill to change some of his ways of doing the Pats football business. Now, I'm not saying blow the whole thing up, but we all have to change. So, to me, the number one question is Bill willing to change or capable of change?
I have
change.
No idea.
Is this Barack from Washington?
That's what Marvin says.
All this change?
I don't know what he's going to change. What's he going to change?
Coaches.
Give up the job and let
stop
other people
stop having
make
coordinators.
Yeah.
He's changed that.
So far, the changes haven't been the ones that we were
first
looking for.
First time we've gone without a coordinator on both sides of the ball.
I'm just not falling into this trap that, you know, everything is wrong what they've been doing the last 5 years. You know?
Okay.
You notice Fred's had a lot of these today? Like, where he's shuffling around in his seat, throwing his chin out after he says things.
He doesn't believe his own.
Because he's a cockle gobbler.
I'm just not falling into that. If that's the case, then
cockle gobbler.
Then
the
most teams have to change. Because
cockle gobbler.
We've had better results than most teams over the last 5 years.
Fred Kirsch, really not cockle gobbler.
The cockle gobbler.
Do you know what a cockle gobbler is?
I don't.
Nor did we. But it's
the
on a
cockle gobbler.
It's on a Legal Seafoods TV commercial.
Yeah.
And
not surprisingly, Andy found it.
I was like, what is that word he just said? It doesn't sound legal.
Get it?
It's a muscle, Fred. It's a shellfish.
Shellfish. Oh.
But the guy's nickname was the cockle gobbler, and I thought that was perfect.
The cockle gobbler.
the house organ that you are.
Yemi from Texas. What do you guys think you can anyway.
Yemi?
What?
Yemi from Texas. What
Go ahead,
do you guys
say it.
Think
it's better
of
when you say it.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the accusations that we don't have offensive and defensive coordinators because the team does not want to pay someone with that title? Jason Cole of Yahoo Sports wrote in an article that Bill preferred Matt Patricia for the coordinator position, but the players wanted Pepper Johnson. He suggested that was probably why no coordinator was named. This is interesting. On one hand, we can't let the prisoners run the asylum, but Matt would be ineffective if the players don't connect with him.
I'm calling BS to Jason Cole.
That's
how does he know
baloney.
What the players, plural, wanted?
Because, to my knowledge, one guy was quoted.
Right.
That's BS. Vince Wilfork is that's inappropriate. Right.
And all this, unless he has phone numbers to a lot of guys, nobody's been around. Right. So
but I don't. I mean, you can't just get two or three and say that's what the players
right.
think.
Let's just yeah. say for
what does Adalys Thomas think? Is he a good barometer? And Vince Wilfork, who's not really on the team right now, who could be on his way out the door, and Sean Springs. That's three players. I got three guys. The players wanted this.
Even if
you
said
for argument's sake,
he called everybody in every defensive player, idiot. Which I know he didn't. But let's just say he did. That still doesn't tell you anything.
Clown.
Hey guys, breaking news.
I don't know about the money thing either. That's. I hope that's not an issue.
I hope it is too. Breaking news
is or isn't.
I hope it's not an issue.
Yeah. I hope it isn't. Okay. I mean, I'm told that the Patriots are in the top five in money spent on coaches. So, whatever that's worth.
Top five?
Top five.
Wow.
I
got to think that means Belichick's making
a
lot of money.
How do you not have coordinators and still be in the top five?
You have the smallest staff in the NFL and
–
sorry,
coach makes
sorry
a lot.
Andy.
That's
they hard. Have the smallest number of coaches employed by the team in the NFL. I don't want to use the word staff because that
yeah,
seems
that would
off
get,
on all
right.
kinds
no,
of different
only
directions.
When your staff is limp and you try to poke it.
What?
Poke
but
stretching your staff too thin.
There's teams with coordinators that are making like $2 million a year.
Maybe the head coach doesn't make as much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It has
so
to be.
So he make?
He
I
has
always
to
thought
be
he
among,
was like in the $4.5 million range.
No one knows.
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
No, but that's what was reported.
Yeah, right.
By like Michael Smith. That last time we had kind of a tangible.
I remember that.
We're in the top five.
That's what
that leads me to believe he's making like $8 or $10 million
a lot
year.
Of money.
I'll bet you he's making closer to 10 than 4.
Jeez, that's ridiculous.
See, I'm with Fred on that.
And he wasn't willing to go the Sean Payton route, which was.
Give up a
pony up
grand.
Some money to get a coordinator?
I don't know. I you know.
Top five.
Breaking news. The Giants have cut Antonio Pierce, in case anyone's interested.
Well, we'll be getting 100 SPFWs about it, I'm sure, this afternoon.
He was their defensive
the minute
captain.
Anybody becomes available.
He got hurt, too, though.
Yeah. And he's not very smart.
NFL teams don't pay on pass
performance. Said, hold this gun, and he did.
And Pierce's salary,
he was like, hold this. He was like, okay.
$4.75 million was tough for the Giants to absorb considering his declining play and health questions. Pierce missed the final seven games of the 09 season with a bulging disc in his neck.
Yeah, he's got some issues, some health issues.
Plus, so. I don't think he fits.
Yeah, I was reading the item on Florio today about Reggie Bush and whether or not they would – you know, because he's due like $8 million or something like that
Trim
next
Bush.
Year.
Yeah.
Kamani wants to know.
From the roster.
Never mind. Never mind.
Never mind.
Kamani
would you be. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think he's going to end up staying in New Orleans.
I do
and
too.
They'll restructure?
Yeah, I do too.
I do too. But just thought it'd be interesting. What if he, what if he gets cut, he comes here and Kevin Falk goes there?
Right as I read it. Right as I read it, I clicked off the PFT, and I went to my email, and we had an SPFW signed Reggie Bush, and I was like, unbelievable.
Kamani wants to know, will any of us be watching the Winter Olympics besides hockey? I don't plan to, but I do have to say that Eric hasn't updated his blog since April 7th, 2009.
I got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
What's going on?
They're in a site redesign.
No, I work for this organization.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, we're not big on social
media.
You
had all day yesterday.
Knock all that crap off. One voice here. One voice.
I'll probably watch a little of the Olympics.
I guarantee I'll watch some
I'll
of
watch
it
a lot.
Every night
I'll
I
watch
turn
as
the
much
TV
as
on.
I can.
And
I
I'll
hope
watch
it snows during the Olympics.
In particular, I'll watch a lot
there.
Tomorrow night.
Why?
The
opening
ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
7:30.
They're indoors.
Get there early.
They're indoors. Isn't that going to be a little
about it, but I usually watch the beginning and
they're not going
to
be able to
then I
to,
hit and
they,
run during
to
the
beat China's
the
nah
they had like 6,000 slaves
yeah
that
no
were
kidding
like,
yeah.
That was an amazing
you
that
could
was
never
an amazing
yeah.
display
can't, yeah. You can't recreate that in the free world
no
you need slavery to recreate
you need slavery
Pete from Hoboken
Zhang Yi Dong on
Pete from the
line one wanted to talk to me
As the clock wound down at the end of Super Bowl 44, Peyton Manning walked straight to the locker room without shaking Drew Brees' hand. Shouldn't the media criticize him the way the media criticized Belichick after Super Bowl 42?
They did.
I know. Belichick technically walked off a few seconds before the clock hit zero, and he's a head coach as opposed to a player. Even so, Peyton usually goes out to midfield to greet the opposing QB after a game, as most quarterbacks do. If Belichick's decision to walk straight to the locker room was an a-hole move, then so was Peyton's.
Andy?
They did criticize him. And then Peyton said Breeze said he had already talked to him.
He called him. He went to the locker room and called him immediately, number one.
And
number
he addressed
two,
it immediately as well.
Belichick did go across and congratulate Coughlin.
Yeah.
He was criticized for leaving the field
leaving
before
the, field.
The game was
yeah,
over.
Right.
Which is not what Peyton Manning did.
Yeah.
Right.
So there is a little bit of a difference there. You can criticize Manning for not
going across to talk to Drew Brees, but that's not what Belichick got criticized for. So they got criticized for different things. And Manning did get criticized, by the way.
And this is a little too much emphasis placed on, though, who says what to whom after a game.
I think,
mean, who cares
I think Manning should have gone over.
I
think Manning should have gone over and shook Sean Payton's hand and Drew Brees' hand. And then you know, he knows. He's been on the field for another Super Bowl. It's a wild, crazy scene. We've all been there.
Yeah.
It's whacked. But I think you have time. You're Peyton Manning. You're not Darryl, you know, some 50. I was going to say Darryl Reed's not even on the Colts anymore.
Say, you're not some ex-Colt walking on the field for no reason.
How did you know I was going to say Darryl Reed?
Because it popped into my head.
But you're not like some, you know, backup special teamer that doesn't matter. You're Peyton Manning. Go over and congratulate the other team's quarterback and coach and then leave. It's not. I mean, I know what he did, and I have no problem with that. But I would rather have seen
What's
him
up, baby?
Go good, over and congratulate Brees in person. Don't you think?
I just think too much is made of those post game handshakes. Who really cares if you congratulate?
I just think there's such a thing as sportsmanship.
I think they should line up.
There's a difference between sportsmanship like and forcing somebody to. Into some
no, I don't want to force them to do anything.
They should want to.
Although I do think, to get back to my hockey love, Fred, I think that's one of the coolest things in sports is at the end of a playoff series when the teams, they kill each other for seven games and then they line up and shake hands
and
when
you
it's all
should
over.
Force them. This is one of those where I believe with the guys that say we're not role models, you are role models. Whether you want to be or not, kids look up to you.
You don't sign up for being
a role
model.
And when you get your $50 million signing bonus, that's buried in the unwritten clauses in the bottom of the contract. People are looking at you all the time. You have a certain right.
Well, then they should do what, like Paul said, what hockey does.
I agree. Can we get that?
Well,
first?
I think it's hard to do that at the end of a Super Bowl.
It's very hard because all the people running in there, and it's just ridiculous. Chris from Germany, by the way, the answer is yes. I don't want to get into what the question was, but it's off to the right a little bit.
How's it hanging?
No, Connor.
Is Paul a complete psychopath?
No.
Does Andy have a large head?
No, it was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit picture that he wanted me to comment on.
Did you happen to see that?
I don't know what we're talking about.
Brooklyn Decker is
smoking.
Completely legit. Oof. Unbelievable.
But
was she on
did
the
that
cover?
Come out, the new one?
Yeah.
You know, it just... in
something showing?
Magazines across the country, advertising is down.
Down.
15% increase in the SI swimsuit advertising this year. It just shows sex sells, it always will.
It's not what strippers is telling me.
His business isn't doing too well.
Too much is available free these days.
Well, that's, yeah.
Why are you going to buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Or porn, so to speak.
Pro Football Talk is also reporting, according to Connor, that Antonio Bryant will be released as well.
He was a UFA.
I believe he's a free agent. Yeah.
Oh. Played under the franchise
played
tag.
Played a franchise
last
tag last year.
Okay.
Well, I'd give him a look, by the way. I'd like to sign him to a Dante Stallworth year two bump contract.
I would absolutely be interested in him. He's a talented guy. Talented, but troubled.
Troubled.
And well-traveled.
Yeah. Journeyman.
Let's see.
Not sure journeyman applies there. This is the discussion we had. It's not just about traveling from team to team.
But it applies
but
if he's traveled
from team
to team.
I think he's more talented than a journeyman.
Hasn't he been on at least three teams?
I think
Dallas?
It's like five or six.
Oh, that's a journeyman.
Yeah.
Dallas, Cleveland, I think. Tampa.
Multiple thousand-yard seasons, I don't consider you a journeyman. I think journeyman, you have to be middling in talent.
No, I think if you play, you can be talented and play for a lot of teams.
Adding it to my list of words. That
Kurt Warner, journeyman quarterback.
No.
He's
played
Hall of
on a bunch of teams.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Journeyman
refers to your level of expertise.
Thank you. Fred and Andy like
but
this.
Also how many teams you've played for.
No.
You can't be playing for one team your whole career and be a journeyman.
No, yes, you can if you're like a backup quarterback.
Journeyman means you have played for more than one.
I kind of disagree. Now I'm jumping ship a little.
I'm in the middle of
journey.
You guys.
It's apprentice, journeyman, master.
No,
it's the level of work. Yes, it is. That's where it comes.
If you've
from.
Only played on one team, you can't be a journeyman.
It has nothing to do with travel.
It does.
That's when people use the term.
No, I agree that Kurt Warner is not a journeyman quarterback.
Back in the day, back in the day of like silversmiths. You'd start as an apprentice, you'd become a journeyman, and then you become a master.
That's fine if that's where
it comes from.
Okay, but that's not how people use it in sports
today.
Then
they're using it incorrectly.
But it's a sports term right now.
Journeyman means a level of expertise.
Oh, boy.
It's a mid-level of expertise.
It's not how it's used today, and I disagree with you.
I agree with your level.
I'm not disputing.
There are guys that are too good to be considered journeymen, no matter how many teams they've been on. I agree with you on that. I disagree with you that a guy can be on one team and be a journeyman.
But it has nothing to do with how many teams they've been on.
Well, Fred, but that's how it's used today.
I think that's part of what it is.
Well, all right.
Now that's a solid PFW in progress.
It really is.
We don't get any better than that.
You've studied history. You understand the
in theory.
The craftsman. You start as an apprentice. You become a journeyman. And
I'm
then
not
you become
disputing
a
your etymology, Fred. I'm just saying people use that term now.
Eric never gets to master. He moves on before he reaches that.
Well, unless it has Bation at the end.
You're a master debater, Fred. I am a cunning linguist.
No, you're not. As you've said, the Patriots won Super Bowls. I haven't.
I've been to the AFC Championship game.
You reached third base.
Fat Pat says, first off, let me get this out of the way. I would like to send my condolence, RIP, Patriots today. I'm sorry, but replacing such an edible beauty as Acro with
whoa.
The B-Lo is devaluing and sending David Garrard to the Pro Bowl. What the hell is the world coming to now? That show has become as dead as the Patriots are in the second half of football games.
Wow.
Fear not, Fat Pat. They might be hiring somebody.
Talent? Brooklyn Decker?
Well, I don't know if it's that type of master talent, but it could be a journeyman talent.
Oh, boy.
Better. What was the first one? Better than a...
Apprentice?
Apprentice?
I had no... When I started this argument, it had nothing to do with any silversmiths in England.
I didn't know that either. I'm going to take Fred's word. I didn't know any of that, but I don't think that's what... People in sports don't use it in that
I agree.
That
exactly.
Right.
Jason Cole might, but he just makes stuff up as he goes along. So.
Okay. I'm not... I don't think you're wrong, Fred. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think that people in sports use it that way. That's all. But I agree with you. You and Andy both said Kurt Warner is not a journeyman, despite the fact that he's been on, what, four teams?
Right.
I agree.
Anyway, speaking of football games,
five.
Right? You guys didn't touch on the Super Bowl too much last show. Sure, it was a great game, and we're all happy with the result. But my question to you guys is how do you think the penis head and the powder puff horseshoes react to the loss? Does Mr. Penis take a five-month hiatus in Mexico, swallow a ton of bottles of tequila, and show up on July 40 pounds overweight and screw the division away to the Tennessee Titans and miss the playoffs? Or does he show some resiliency and the penis head comes to be another regular season hero yet again to make a postseason run up until they face the Chargers? Can they match our 11-5 record after our Super Bowl loss?
I think they'll still be a good team.
I think they'll be better than 11-5.
They'll be.
I think the guy's a droid. He'll be there probably by the end of the week.
I thought last year was the year they were going to have the dip. When they showed me they weren't going to have the dip,
how long has
I don't
he been?
Think be
how
a
long
dip.
Has he been married, Manning?
I don't know.
You don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. At least you don't hear about it.
He really doesn't listen to this show.
No.
Last week, I said to Paul, does he have kids? You said, I don't know. I've never seen him. Do you not listen to us?
Particularly to me and you, he doesn't listen to.
But
never.
And he doesn't listen to Eric.
But don't you know the
Eric
rules
doesn't know
of
where
radio.
The tight end lines up.
Don't you know the rules of radio, Andy? You never assume that your audience from show to show or even from half hour to half hour is the same. Sometimes you have to repeat things and make it fresh for the new audience.
All right. Today's the first day the Patriots can offer the franchise
that.
Tag to Vince Wilfork.
Paul knows that. He learned at the feet of Glenn Ordway.
Right.
Well, actually,
why was he at Glenn's feet, and what was he doing down there? No wonder he's on that show. I'm not willing to go there. Those cold sores Paul gets, I'm not willing to do it.
Jeez, he's just going off on a rant here.
Boy.
It's Paul's girl again.
Louie.
I am a big fan.
Louie writes in.
I'm starting to love her. The more I see her, she's smoking. What's her name? Megan what?
Megan Price. Megan with a Y.
Everybody has a price.
M-E-G-Y-N.
I'd be willing to pay it.
Megan.
It's okay with girls, by the way.
It's kind of hot.
Girls spell it wrong, it's hot. Guys spell it wrong, it's gay.
It's not spelled wrong.
Let's see. Eric with a K. Louis from Tampa says, hello, guys. I have some burning questions. Did last Tuesday's show go for 2 hours without commercials? Is referee Scott Green related to Paul Perillo? Who's Scott Green?
That was the referee in the Super Bowl.
Oh. Who left his flag at home?
I like that, though.
I do, too, and that's why they're asking. Was it you?
But I assumed that's what I figured.
Were there a lot of egregious? I mean, there weren't a lot of penalties.
No, I thought there were a couple of things that could have been called, but nothing I disagreed with.
Yeah.
The only call of the entire game that I thought was bad, there was a late hit very early in the game on the Colts out of bounds that was very picky. That's the only thing I said, wow, that was – you know, how come they didn't call that or whatever.
But you usually don't see them unless they call it and they replay it and they focus. I mean,
right. Now,
from watching on TV, it's hard to see penalties away from the ball.
There were receivers on both teams complaining about calls, but that happens on every incomplete pass.
I did have one question. On the interception in the end zone that wasn't the Manning one, did they ever show a replay of that?
Yeah.
The official come in from the back line going like this?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. One guy
called it. They kind of glossed over the fact that one official was calling it first down the
other way. One guy called it an interception, and then another guy came in and said he was out, and he was out.
They showed a replay, but they kept showing it from the same angle that you couldn't tell.
Oh, I think he was clearly out. I don't think it was even close.
They never showed it from another angle.
From the regular sideline angle, at first I thought he had it, but then I saw the replay from the back.
I just thought it was weird that there's a guy coming in going like
first down the other way. The guy in the back said it was an interception.
And they kind of just glossed past it.
He declared it New Orleans ball.
Penalty, next play, boom.
And because at first I thought, well, this is going to come back anyway because I saw the flag, and I thought the penalty was going to be on the Saints.
Right.
And then I saw the replay, and I was like, oh, I see what they did. Now, I guess you can't do it, but he was out of bounds because of the offensive interference. Right. Otherwise, it would have been a pick.
Yeah. Where does all the junk go that Fred buys on TV?
In a cabinet somewhere. What's the latest? You still on the fish oil?
I still take that. It's very good for my cognitive skills and also my going to the bathroom. It's very good.
Why, you have a growing problem?
No, the other one.
He's super. It's very good for my cognitive skills and also for my going to the bathroom.
How many sick days will the PFW staff take during March Madness? They don't. They just sit in Paul's office and watch the TV.
Yeah, I used to make the mistake of taking those 2 days off. Now Fred just comes in and we run a pool anyway.
During the last show, Paul commented that Brady's physique was starting to wear down. While I agree that at age 33 he may start to decline, I want to ask how much should we consider the proverbial two-year period after knee surgery?
I think that's an issue. I think that's relevant, that he should be better. The knee should be better. I was talking more or less of the shoulder, the ribs, and
shoulder,
things like that.
Finger. But he didn't play terrible this past year.
No, I don't think that.
Except for the wildcard game.
I don't think
but they all play terrible.
Yeah, but he's the leader. They follow the head. He's the head.
Yeah, I think that people
kill the head of the
are going to look
the snake
for
dies.
A significant
he
step
didn't give up.
I'm not sure that.
No, but he did throw a pick in the middle of the field where there wasn't a receiver with 75 yards and four defenders.
He played as bad a game
was bad.
He played as bad a game as you can play in that game.
My point
terrible.
Is, he's the leader.
They follow the leader.
This guy's talking about his knee, though. I'm saying it's not like he had a terrible comeback in his first year back. So I don't know how much better he's going to be next year.
I think he's breaking down a little bit physically. That's all. And I think when you get to that age, when you get to your mid-30s in the NFL, and you start breaking down with injuries, they don't generally stop.
But that,
I think that's this
the question
is, the
is
how fast is the question?
No, my question is, would he not have gotten broken down 6 years ago had Randy Starks or Albert Haynesworth landed on him the same way?
Absolutely.
Shoulder or something, you can say that's a repetitive motion injury. But when a 350-pound guy dives on you, I think, 17 or 37, you might get hurt if it's the same angle, force, whatever.
Or to use your point, maybe if he was working out more, he would
that's
able
true.
To withstand
the muscles
more.
Around the ribs, if he had done a little more core work, would have been stronger.
But if he was on ice, it wouldn't be as bad.
Right, because there's no friction.
The
boards.
I'll tell you where there's going to be some friction. He just printed out some pictures of Brooklyn Decker for me. Holy Moses.
All right, it moved.
Moved? We're all done. I'm going to need a new pair of pants.
Oh, boy.
She is. Isn't she?
Is that a hair gel?
Andy Roddick.
Whew, he's a lucky SOB.
LT from Adelaide says, just a quick either-or game for you. Who would you choose to be on your team?
Brooklyn Decker.
Julius Peppers or Justin Tuck?
Julius Peppers.
Drew Brees or Philip Rivers?
Drew Brees.
Brees.
Matt Cassel or Vince Young?
Cassel.
We've had Vince Cassel.
Sanity.
I'll say
Matt
Cassel.
Cassel.
I just love Vince.
I think Cassel, too. Vince Wilfork or Damakong Su?
Wilfork. I know what we have.
Su.
I don't know
Decker.
What we have there.
Gerard Mayo or Patrick Willis?
Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis.
Brian Dawkins or Darren Sharper?
Brian
Dawkins.
Dawkins, yeah. As I said in Ask PFW, the spot on this team for the Pro Bowl tackle missing safety is already occupied by Brandon Merriweather. We don't need another one in Darren Sharper.
Randy Moss or Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant.
Yeah, just because.
Age.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
That's the same thing with Sue and Wilfork.
Wish you all a great Lunar New Year.
Now, why exactly was he suspended? What's the rule for him?
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
It's like a Mike Williams clerical NCAA type thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's not a jerk in any sort.
Well, I don't
by
know.
All accounts.
He may be, but that's not why he got suspended.
Brooklyn Decker got it going on. I wouldn't want a Decker, but I'd like to do it.
Salim kind of asked a question that I kind of know what everyone's reaction is going to be.
Brooklyn
but he says,
Decker.
If the Pats make good free agent moves and have a good draft and they go on to win Super Bowl 45 without coordinators, is Bill's no coordinator decision still wrong?
Yeah.
If Bill can pull this off, he is absolutely the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, it's still wrong.
Yeah.
Because it means Bill O'Brien did a good job and was worthy of the coordinator title.
Can we just say one thing? I don't know if we agree on this. I'll throw it out there for you guys. He has coordinators, right? That's what I feel.
On offense,
yes.
I think he has
on
a coordinator.
On offense, he does. I'm
I don't
not
know
sure
about
the
defense.
Okay.
I'm not sure at all about defense.
So he had, I mean, it's not like if this works, it's any more impressive on him.
All right, well,
me.
No. On offense, he has Bill O'Brien. On defense, I think now it's him. I think he's the defensive coordinator.
I think Bill O'Brien's the offensive coordinator, and I think when you do it on one side of the ball, and that side of the ball is your expertise with which you came up the ranks, that's pretty commonplace. I think Sean Payton is that.
He's the offensive coordinator for the
Saints. I think there's plenty
of
teams that do that.
Yeah.
Even though my boy, Pete Carmichael, is technically the offensive coordinator.
That's why I've kind of fixated on the guy getting screwed here is Bill O'Brien. Either you hate him, and I don't know why you're allowing him to coordinate your offense because you weren't impressed with last year, or you were impressed with last year. Why aren't you giving him the coordinator title? It seems like one or the other, unless the one out is I kind of like he cut him off at the legs last year, didn't give him enough chance to stand on his own as a coordinator, but isn't willing.
Anthony's
that's kind
hypothesis.
Of, I kind of like that.
It does make sense.
My point was just that. He didn't eliminate his coaching staff. Therefore, if it works, you know, he's that much. Let's face it, he's that much greater if he wins a fourth Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, that's just adds to his legacy. I think he has coordinated.
And as we often say, the result doesn't necessarily mean it was the right decision.
We just don't know exactly.
Sean
what
Payton
doing.
Made a bad call when he did an onside kick. In my mind,
right.
The result worked out. He won the Super Bowl because of it. I still think it was a bad call. I think he still could have and would have won without doing that because I think his team had the momentum already.
It's those tough hypotheticals that you can't get the answer both sides to because we don't know what would have happened if he had hired Romeo Crennel to be his defensive coordinator.
Or if he had punted on 4th-and-2.
Alejandra writes in, Bill Polian is a genius. By tanking the last two games of the season, he spared the Colts fans from the crushing blow of a Super Bowl loss after an undefeated run. But then again, a Super Bowl loss is a crushing blow anyway, so let's just say Bill Polian's a jerk. By the way, how long before the competition committee forbids onside kicks prior to the fourth quarter?
I've heard that joke.
I like it. As someone outside the U.S., I am intrigued by that MASH rating record. I don't understand how some successful shows like Cheers or Seinfeld don't even come close, let alone all previous Super Bowls. My question is, was MASH really that good, or was it an error in the rating estimation that nobody wanted to assume?
Well, I think it calls into play all the cable, the more channels, and as the later you went on, the more there was.
That's true.
MASH was when?
70, 80s.
Yeah, that was pretty early.
And
that
MASH was a great show.
No, I know, but so was Seinfeld, according to you. Yeah.
I wouldn't even compare those two shows. Seinfeld is so much better than MASH, I wouldn't even be able to.
But one of the beauties of MASH, it was a long-running show, but when they replaced characters, they didn't replace the character. The person they brought in was his own different character. So, like, the colonel wasn't a replacement. They had a new colonel who had his own.
Like Cheers.
Sort of like, but Cheers got worse as it got older.
No, but they when
Coach
when,
was better than Woody.
When Coach died, they brought in a different guy.
Right,
they didn't bring in another guy to play Coach.
Right.
Coach was better.
But I thought that Cheers didn't do as well in the later years.
Cheers struggled badly at the end.
Yeah, I thought so.
At the very end. But that was a pretty good show. I mean,
that was a good show.
Even when you had Shelley Long leave and Kirstie Alley come in, it was a whole different dynamic. Mm-hmm. It was a whole different.
Did you like Kirstie Alley?
At the time, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. You don't think so?
She's one of those, you know, sometimes she looks good, sometimes she doesn't.
Well,
not
anymore.
She hasn't looked good since the mid-80s.
Since she ate Paul.
Well, now, yeah. Tuesday we were talking about the pizza without the cheese.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do they call it? North Providence strip pizza?
No, Rhode Island. They call it
North
strip
Providence.
Pizza.
Everything goes back to the hills of Providence.
Just so you know, guys, this is from Venezzi. Real pizza from Italy never had cheese on it. When it became Americanized, cheese started getting put on it. It's like the fortune cookie. My great-grandmother, a first-generation American, used to make pizza at family events, and then she would strip the cheese off and throw some sardines on top.
Ugh.
She only put cheese on it because she knew the rest of the family liked it that way. That was how it was done in northern Italy, at least. Her mother was an immigrant from Bologna.
So like most things, Americans made it better.
So it's just different. That's all.
No. Cheese makes it better.
Yeah. I don't know the origins of real Italian pizza. Do you?
I think the Chinese invented it.
My grandparents...
Well, they claim they've invented everything.
Right. My grandparents used to have a pizza party the night before the 4th of July, and they always made it with cheese.
Maybe you're from the South.
Avellino, as a matter of fact.
Oh, Avellinos.
The Napolitans, though, claimed that their pizza
the hell
is
did he
the
just
original.
Say?
I think he just threw up. No.
The people in Naples.
The Napolitans.
Yeah. They just got the Italian government to acknowledge that the way they make pizza is the official, the official Italian
so how
way
is
to
that?
Make pizza.
What
so it's kind of like the NFL. They've standardized the way it should be done for all.
Yeah.
I see. Of.
So how is it that they make pizza that makes it official?
That it's just crust, sauce, cheese, oven.
Yeah, and like some...
They broke the mold.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's not really earth-shattering. It's just... The way they make it,
but it's our way, according to this email. They stole it back from us after we stole it, put cheese on it. They stole it back. The Napolitanos.
They're not Spanish.
I was going to say, how did they get to be like Japanese?
It's very close. Oh, not Japan, but Spain is.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Un poco.
Chris from Germany says, here's why the Pats need to avoid sinking any long-term cash into the wide receiver free agent market. Al Davis. Next year, we are sitting pretty with an early pick. Floyd from Notre Dame, Green from Georgia, or Jones from Alabama.
Is he talking about the 2011 draft?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yep. So just he wants stop. To just but, lose in 2010.
But just out of, you know,
might not even be football
for the
year.
Sake of playing along, why couldn't you sink some cash into the free agent market and get, say, an Anquan Boldin or a Chris Chambers or
Malcolm Floyd?
Antonio Bryant, someone brought up earlier, and then draft Malcolm Floyd next year. Or Malcolm, what's his name? Michael Floyd. Not Malcolm Floyd. Michael Floyd from Notre Dame next year with the number 3 overall pick if that's who you wanted.
I'm just worried about winning games in 2010.
Yeah,
because if you stink, maybe Brady says, well, you're going to stink. I'm going to sign elsewhere because Paul's trying to run him out of town.
Andy's been looking to give him away for anything. The Colts want to give us back.
John writes in. I was
named Manning.
I was listening to the PFW broadcast, your discussion about pulling for either the Saints or the Colts. I was pulling for the Manning face. All I really wanted to see was Manning's face, that pouty, gee, I dunked my cookie and it broke, kick him in the noggin and laugh face. How is that for some fan hate?
Yes, I like that.
Yes, fans find reasons to hate other teams. I hate the Colts because they are competition, because they stand between the Patriots and the goal. However, that hate comes out by saying Polian changes the rules of the game to limit the Patriots, or the Colts get calls that no one else gets, or I hate Peyton Manning because he is a wimp and will not take a hit. It's part of the luxury of
I'm
being a fan.
That.
That being said, I am really hoping we get Jacoby Ford in the late rounds for a kick returner with the hopes he blossoms into a darn good wide receiver.
That's 2 votes today for Jacoby Ford.
Yeah, but didn't Michael want him in the second round?
I thought he said later. I thought he said fifth.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I thought he played point guard. So whatever. Oh, that's nice. Mike calls just to talk to you, and you zone out on him.
I thought he said that was the... Is that the guy from Clemson?
Yeah.
The poor man's Kevin Falk? I thought he said...
Pretty sure he said fifth
second
round.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show. What are you guys doing this weekend? Eric Kamani wants to know. What do you got plans? Anything?
Don't worry about
nothing?
It.
I'm going to New Hampshire.
You go to New Hampshire?
Yeah, a little family
what
gathering.
What are you
gonna do? Just a little family gathering. I think at some point we're going to some minor league hockey game because one of my nephews
Can
is
Paul
skating.
Come?
What?
College.
Oh, okay.
I don't go to minor league
Much
games.
Better level than
well, What's the Northeastern schedule for the weekend?
UMass, Saturday night.
Okay.
Who cares?
All right. Well, that's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Tuesday. Maybe there'll be some Wilfork news by then. We don't know. But we'll see you next Tuesday.